Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
Welcome to PFW in Progress on this Tuesday. No Fred Kirsch today, so you're stuck with Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart in studio. Doctors behind the glass. Is Tomash getting our food? Okay. Because as soon as we got in here, the first thing Andy...
You stop moving your microphone.
You seem to have food right next to you.
That stuff I... That's just...
Don't
solid.
Do this while you're doing the show open.
Wow.
Boy, Andy Hart.
Who would have thought
you said salad?
I'm the common collector.
I know, seriously.
That never happens.
What's wrong with you?
He made Fred Kirsch look professional.
It was a nice
He's
long
hungry.
Weekend. What's the matter?
He's hungry.
Yeah, he started eating a salad.
No, I'm talking about you.
What's wrong with you?
I was just giving you an excuse.
You're the one
hungry.
Who's flying off the handle. Yeah, seriously.
He needs his food. Once he has some food in his mouth, he'll stop talking.
They put something in his mouth.
Listen.
What? He does have an oral fetish.
Do you really want to go there? I mean, do you really? Do you want me to say you have an anal fetish?
You want to eat my salad?
Why don't you stick to football?
I'm going
to
move the mic again, just so I can upset
you. I like
you.
How he asks you if you really want him to go
of
there,
course.
But he just goes there.
Of course. Well, you didn't say no.
Okay,
so,
go.
What the hell are we going to talk about for the next
week? It's going to be fun with you guys at the combine, huh?
Oh, my God. Turf toe has forced him to retire. Got news for you.
Breaking news out
I
of Providence.
I thought he was a cop, by the way.
He was supposedly trying to become a cop.
Really?
Oh. Now he's in the training business?
Well, they had him in the firing range, and he just dropped his gun and walked away. You know, like the football that he dropped when his hamstring hurt.
I got
it. He's a big poonan.
He's really upset today.
He is. I think we should just turn the reins over and let him go.
No, I don't have
Andy Hart, unfiltered.
I don't have two hours.
Oh, I don't know. Wow. No.
You don't want it unfiltered.
You'll have a good 17 minutes, then you'll run out of gas.
Exactly. All right, web radio at Patriots.
I don't think he'll ever run out of gas, let's be honest.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Web radio at Patriots.com is our email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number in case.
Can you add red potato skins, by the way, to the list of things that go right
through me? Join this conversation.
Okay.
Red potato skins?
Had some roasted Red Bliss potatoes.
Oh,
my body peeled the potato on the way through and just shot the peels out.
Oh, God. He's unbelievable.
Well, now we know why he's so upset
this
weekend.
Also had a black olive.
Tacoma salad. All right, this is good. Now we can salvage Andy for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
calm down.
I did.
Two pizzas?
Two free pizzas on the house.
Yes. What?
Wow.
From Grande.
They just love us.
Our good friends at Pizzeria Grande in Walpole.
Wow. That's just stepping it up.
That really is stepping it up.
1A or
did they happen to?
No, it's like, I don't know.
PizzeriaGrande.com.
Were there any cookies in that order?
I think it's Washington Street.
Washington.
Cookies
I thought we were on Washington Street.
Yeah. We are.
They're not then. because it's a different street. I know that.
No cookies, Tomas.
But it might technically be a different.
He's not listening.
Different wall. Oh yeah, probably isn't Rantham or Raynham or Walpole.
Walpole. That's probably mine.
There's a lot of towns that converge in this area.
Great, yeah, it's radio. Good stuff.
No
it's
worse than
stuff.
The first 5 minutes with Patrick Eric moving his microphone around.
Oh, wow. Please just give Andy some food so
really?
He just leaves poor Eric
just
alone.
My God.
And after all that, you didn't even get your
No, I'm having got a little birthday thing with somebody tonight with Pete. Ooh,
oh.
Pizza.
Oh.
Wow.
But how about Patrick Pass, though, huh?
Yeah, what was
that's
he
a blow to the backfield.
Why was he thinking that his career was ongoing?
Well, because as recently as
he was here.
8 months ago, he was in an NFL training camp, a mini camp. Anyway.
Yeah. Why do you think your art career is still ongoing?
I didn't think that was funny at all, Eric.
That's a fair point. Yeah, no, as he says as he's laughing his ass off.
No formal artistic training has forced Eric to retire from art.
What, no Coke today?
Oh, I think we got him in the fridge there.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're now... What, 5-6 days into the 2 week period where teams can franchise their players, and still nobody has done so.
Right.
I'm a little surprised. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're going to do it, you might as well get it over with, and you can continue to move on and with your negotiations and whatnot. But listen,
the Globe has taken the exact opposite view of that. I don't know if you've read any of that from Albert Breer.
I have
that, Bert. You know, he talked to Dwight Freeney. He likes to tell you who he talked to, when he talked to him. Asked Dwight Freeney when he was franchised why he didn't get angry, blah, blah, blah. And he said, because we knew we were on the right track. We were negotiating. It was coming, blah, blah, blah. But we reached a deadline where we hadn't done the long-term deal. So, you know, it was just kind of what had to be done. So he's using that theory here that they're negotiating and they're both moving in the right direction.
Right.
And that if they have to franchise him, it'll be at the last minute just because, you know, a safety precaution.
So he's taking it as an encouraging sign that there hasn't been any movement.
Yes.
But what about throughout the rest of the league? Because I haven't heard any of the other 31 teams doing anything with their franchise tags.
Maybe it's just the unknown of the season and the trying to deal with stuff, and why do something before you really have to? Wait till the end and just do it if you really need to protect yourself. I don't know. I think there's a lot of people considering it.
You want to consider it.
There's some scenarios where teams that have used it can't or won't use it.
Uh-huh.
You know, Carolina can't or won't. I mean, they could, but probably won't, it sounds like. I was talking to you about St. Louis and the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Dansby, because it would be his third, would get the top five of all players. So there's some different factors out there, people that would be considered for it.
You can franchise a guy three times?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think it was only two? Was that
because you don't know the NFL all that well?
All right, aside from that.
You don't know where the tight end lines up, as Fred likes to say? I don't know, because there's two regular ones. And
for all practical purposes, you're right. You can do it a third time, but as Andy explained, instead of getting the top five average salaries of that position, you get the top five average salaries of the top five paid players.
So you'd pretty much have to be a quarterback.
Right.
And you're talking about Carlos Dansby, for example. The one that Andy brought up is over $16 million, almost $17 million, to be franchised. Now that doesn't make much sense for an inside linebacker.
Has it happened before?
For a non-pass rushing linebacker, has it happened before? Not since they changed this rule. They did tweak this a couple of years ago.
Because Walter Jones had it
three times in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't believe it was under the same rules.
I don't believe it was.
It's a lot of money.
But interesting, especially for a non-pass rushing linebacker,
that Andy's talking about on Pro Football Talk. Interesting, the five highest paid players,
two of them were Patriots
them
at this
Patriots
time
size.
Last year.
Matt Castle and Tom Brady, Peyton Manning obviously one of them. Donovan McNabb is one of them, and Peppers I think is the fifth.
Donovan
correct?
Donovan McNabb,
isn't Peppers the fifth one out of those?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the top five highest paid guys from 2009.
What a joke, Donovan McNabb. He stinks.
Doc, who'd we get lunch from today?
Rajiv.
Do we have an email from him? Want to do what Fred doesn't do normally and thank the people right
praise
away for
our
getting
listeners
us lunch.
For
yes.
feeding us. Got to praise
right, well,
both sides
that,
of this
we'll
as I eat my sandwich and the free pizza.
Yeah,
I got to thank him for sticking with us today on what's obviously going to be a very slow show.
Seriously.
Because we're already stumbling to a halt.
Well, there's really no Patriots news that happened since our last show. There was...
Need proof of that? Check the Boston Globe's Sunday football notes, which had no reference to anything in Patriots.
Oh, did they steal something from us again?
No, but they steal on their blog all the time.
Oh.
including style, not even just content, but style. Now they're begging for comments like I beg for comments on ours.
I was going to say, I didn't know if you noticed it, Andy, but the Boston Globe seems to be doing a lot of things like PFW and Patriots.com.
Yeah, did you know that EEI was reporting that Belichick's not naming a coordinator?
With the Red Sox.
Yeah, I read that release on Patriots.com. Thanks.
The Globe certainly taking their Patriots Football Weekly approach to their Red Sox coverage this week.
Yeah, Eric, they wrote a J.D. Drew story.
That's what he was telling me.
It was your Moss story. It was like trying to defend a guy as being a good guy, but not talking to the guy, not really getting, and just taking like the devil's advocate pro side to a negative perception, basically. It was one of the worst stories I've ever read. Yours was much better on Moss, because Moss is a much better player.
And I have pretty good quotes from people.
Not because your story was better. It was because Moss was a much better player.
Oh, yeah. Another backhanded Andy Hart compliment. That's pretty much the only kind of compliments he dishes out.
Trivia question.
Go ahead.
I'm opening this up to our listeners.
Sure.
Name.
Does that mean we shouldn't answer if we know?
You know.
Oh, okay.
So don't.
I won't answer then.
First person that emails in with the name
we'll get
of
this
Eric Scalavino's favorite president.
No.
What?
No, because you made that up. Don't start.
We'll get absolutely nothing other than the good feeling of
a chuckle.
The world knowing.
Get a chuckle.
You'll get the Andy Hart.
I watched a President's Marathon on President's Day yesterday on the History Channel and learned something about one of our presidents that I did not know. And he's Eric's favorite president.
He is not my favorite president.
You love him.
That would be Ronald
Dick
Reagan.
Dick Nixon.
Nice try, but no.
No, but along the right lines.
No. Reagan is my favorite president. But for the sake of this stupid argument, I will...
I don't have a favorite president. I did get a... I'd never seen the clip of Gerald Ford falling down the stairs.
Oh, there's a ton of them. Yeah.
Now that's high comedy.
He did that several times. But apparently a lot of presidents do that, but he,
didn't
for
Bush
some reason,
have an issue?
He had some issues, too. A lot of presidents do have an issue with that, but he got a bad rap for it for some reason. I don't know if someone in the media didn't like him or he got on somebody's bad side. I forgot what it was, but he really got typecast as being this bumbling, stumbling fool who I guess it's really not all that uncommon. But so what else did you guys do this weekend? It was a long weekend.
I was up Stripper's Way in New Hampshire, went to a Manchester Monarchs minor league hockey game. It was a good time.
Oh, yeah?
Jackson Hart enjoyed it, especially the Chuck-a-Puck promotion between the second and third periods. I apologize to the man sitting about eight rows in front of us who took the puck off the back of the head from Jackson Hart.
His dad taught him well, huh? Attacking random strangers at hockey games.
Andy, I've told you many times. You
no,
could,
Uncle Paul taught him that.
You can
no,
enjoy.
Uncle Paul taught him. Looks down a bag of popcorn in the third period.
Right before bed.
Right. And then when he finishes, see another kid who has ice cream go, I want ice cream. No. Do they have Chuck-a-Puck at Northeastern?
They do have Chuck-a-Puck.
And you probably got a good chance of winning because three pucks hit the ice. It's seriously. Rich Perillo, Paul Perillo, and Will Perillo.
No,
if I had the Hart family, and we got to, you know, we're 2-5 of winning.
I never buy it unless Will is with us, but... yeah, they do that, and they put a little dog bowl in the middle of the ice.
A dog bowl?
Yeah, for the Huskies.
Oh, this was much bigger. This was...
Well, you don't have to get it in.
Closest to?
So what do you have
closest to the pin?
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
I've never seen anyone get it inside. I've seen the dish get hit a lot, but I've never seen anybody get it in.
Well, in your years of seeing five pucks thrown from
but
the
I gotta tell you,
crowd.
Right along Eric Scalavino lines, I'm really getting hooked on the Olympics.
I'm telling you. It's good stuff, even
though
it's not snowing in Vancouver.
Even though it's going to go down to one of the biggest joke Winter Olympics ever.
I know.
Everything is wrong. Everything doesn't work.
The opening ceremonies were terrific, even though they were indoors. I know people were upset about that. BC Place is huge. I thought that was kind of cool to watch the other night. And
very well done opening
ceremonies. There's been some, you know, in the first weekend, there were some really interesting highlights of
this is actually a good topic for this show, because... We have a lot of listeners globally.
Yep.
So
yeah. Canada
many
won its first gold medal as the host country in, what is this, the third try now? Montreal Summer Games.
Calgary.
Calgary Winter Games, and now this one. First time they won. And what was it? The downhill? No, who was it? I forgot. It was a skier, though, wasn't it?
Moguls.
Yeah, it was in the Moguls.
Moguls. Okay.
Moguls.
Yeah.
And his brother has cerebral palsy or something.
Right.
Yeah, that was one of those, you know, stories that you make fun of all year, you know, because NBC turns them into a sap fest. the Olympics. But then when you watch this, when you watch them, you can't help but be moved by the pieces.
Yeah, of course.
They're compelling pieces. But, you know, that was one of them. And the excitement on that kid's face, the older brother, the one who has CP, was, I mean, you, how can you not root for that guy?
Eric, I would ask you this, but I don't, I'm not going to because you wouldn't have the answer. So I'll open it up to our Canadian listeners.
I'm laughing because we already have responses to your other one.
I know. Our listeners never fail us. What exactly is the tie-in between Canada and England at this point? Because they were discussing that technically Queen of England should have been the high-ranking official at the opening ceremonies, but she didn't come, and she allowed that Haitian-slash-Canadian woman to take over. What is the specific tie between the two? Is it strictly formality? There's no, like, actual authority between the two, right? I mean,
I think it's formality, but like you said, our Canadian or UK listeners could probably better define what the exact relationship is at this point.
I mean, I know it wasn't that long ago that there were some sort of formal ties. I think like the 50s or something.
Well, same with Bermuda. Like Bermuda is, I think, a territory of the UK, but it's
its own little. You think of Canada as one of
the biggest countries in the world.
I mean, the Olympics are being held in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Right.
You know, so
no, I know, but we have.
I don't know exactly what it is, and not surprised that Eric doesn't. The pseudo-intellect, supposed to know this stuff. And
he never knows it,
Take ignorant peons such as Andy and I and lift us to greater heights. But as usual, Eric, you drop the ball. But you have gotten me hooked on the Olympics,
which is
though.
Appropriate today. Patrick Pass announcing his retirement, dropping the ball.
How much are we going to get? We're going to get a lot of mileage out of Patrick Pass today, I think.
Funny thing is, one of my all-time favorite Patriots. Loved him.
He's a very, very good guy. Yeah. But
ever since the day he looked at me and goes, you bulk up over the offseason?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
A little bit. I hit it hard.
Yeah. You hit the Miller Lights hard. That's about it.
Hit your mom hard.
Oh, see now.
Wow. Grossly, wildly inappropriate.
Would you like to read a couple answers for your favorite president?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell people why. Just
they're both the same. Strippers wrote in and said James Buchanan.
Wow.
The only president to remain a, and he put in quotes, bachelor.
Eric's a bachelor, too.
That was Nano Steel. I swear to God, that's what the guy wrote in as Nano
Steel.
Not Jake. But strippers also had guessed James Buchanan. Both are incorrect, but for the sake of Andy's silly little game, that is the answer.
I didn't know we had a gay president. I think that's one of those things that if a man were elected now as a homosexual president, they'd make a big deal about it. When in reality,
we had
a gay president 200 years ago.
How about David Palmer?
How about Mary?
Don't watch 24?
No, I don't. Sorry.
He doesn't watch anything. He's never seen Billy Madison.
I'll be watching that tomorrow night. I DVR'd it.
Billy?
Yeah. Because Andy got all upset. Andy got all upset on Friday.
On this show.
Where's my snack pack?
If he's never seen Billy Madison, I mean...
Jesus.
Snack Pack, you're the coolest.
I haven't seen anything. I've seen those movies.
I mean, those movies. It's only one movie, isn't it?
Yeah. You should watch
but
Blaze of
like,
Glory.
There's like four of them that are exactly the same. They just have a different, you know, different premise. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Water
seen
Boy.
Seen Happy Gilmore. Seen The Water Boy.
They're all kind of the same movie.
Yeah, I've seen most of them. I just never saw that one in particular.
You don't need to.
He got
it's
all
kind of like the
AC/DC
of songs, you know? They're all the same song. They just change the words. Adam Sandler had one movie. He just cranked it out four times.
Yeah. The only other news item that I thought was kind of interesting from over the weekend, because we've been getting a lot of Ask PFWs and questions into the show about free agents, and Carlos Dansby mentioned four teams, or there were four teams mentioned in a story about teams that he would like to play for, and now Andy said that there was a follow-up story saying that he was asked specifically about those four teams. Patriots were not among them. I believe it was Giants, Chargers, Redskins, and Dolphins. So there was an AFC East.
Well, I thought Colts was one of them.
I don't think so. But
you didn't print it? You usually have notes?
Anyway, there were four teams, and the Patriots weren't among those four teams, but Patriots fans have been mentioning his name a lot in the last couple of years because he's approached free agency.
What would he do?
He also wisely backed away from that.
I'm open to anybody.
Said.
And if he didn't do it wisely, I'm sure his agent said, what are you doing? Why are we limiting the bidders?
Exactly. Kind of like last year when Peppers sort of came out and said he wanted to play for a 3-4 and there were only certain teams. But
whenever you lower the number of people in contention for your services, that's not good business. But I love Carlos Dansby as an athlete. I'm not sure I love him as a Patriot. I just don't know what he would be here. assuming they remain sort of a 3-4 team.
Right. So you have him next to Mayo in the middle.
I think he's a rich man's Gary Guyton. Like, he's athletic, fast, but I think he could get killed if you lined him up next to Gerard Mayo.
Well, he's definitely an improvement over Guyton.
Well, yeah, just because he's... But you're going to be paying him like an improvement. Instead of paying him as an undrafted rookie for $385,000, you're going to be spending $8 million or something ridiculous on him. And he's not a pass rusher, as Paul said. He's not an edge guy. I don't really... It's a nice little theory. Yeah, let's go get an athletic playmaking linebacker.
Too much to get, though.
I just don't think he'd make plays for you. I just don't think he's a good fit.
I love the player. I kind of agree with Andy. I don't want the emails. I know they get mad when I disagree with you, Andy, sometimes. But I agree. I don't know where exactly he fits.
And he'd be too expensive.
You're not going to get him. Like you said, he's more effective than Gary Guyton. I would take him if I could get him for a million or two. But I think it's going to cost you a significant. Because he's a good player. He's a great athlete. And I think he probably does fit better on some schemes than others. Even if it was a more attacking 3-4, I think you might be able to find a spot for him. But the way the Patriots play, and I can't imagine that, regardless of 3-4, 4-3, they're going to just scrap the principles altogether. You know, the two-gap principles and all that stuff.
Speed-based, aggressive.
That would be a big,
big change.
Well,
it depends what their coordinator wants. Of course, that would depend on them having coordinator.
Well, I think the head coach and the coordinator would probably clash over that, though, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. The head coach needs to worry about battling the GM, who's got him some bad players in recent years.
Yeah.
That head coach has got a lot of battles to fight
with
himself. Needs multiple mirrors punching left and right.
All right, let's hear from some of the fans. Jimmy from Texas.
Wait 1 second. That would be funny if Bill, if things were going really well and Bill was really lighthearted, and you say, Bill, what happened on that game that they won by 3 touchdowns at the end of the game, but there was what happened on that? It didn't seem like you had the right person. Yeah, it was a mix-up between me and the coordinator. We weren't on the same page. We didn't have the right personnel. We really screwed that one up. Something like that. Couldn't get the play in on time. He's doing it all. So he could just, take all these sarcastic.
I can picture him with that smirk, too.
Yeah, these sarcastic shots about himself.
No chance.
Yeah.
No.
Better chance of Eric.
No chance of them winning games by 3 touchdowns. You heard it here. Andy Hart.
Of Bill doing that.
Not bullish on the
better chance of Eric becoming 22nd
Patriots.
What? All right, Yemi from Texas chiming in. What's your honest assessment of Vince Wilfork? I don't think he's that great. Last year was his best year, and I cannot remember him having a dominant game. Jared Mayo, Gerard, but
that's disrespectful.
Solid and dependable, but not great. Can Doc play that clip involving Charlie Weiss saying we played the whole game, but did not touch the edit word here? Can you please put a context to that clip? What game was that, and who was the quarterback he was referring to? Note from Yemi, Eric, San Francisco did franchise their nose tackle yesterday.
Oh, they did. I knew they were included in the group.
Is that the Franklin?
Ayu Brahme or something?
Abreu Franklin?
Yeah, him.
So there's been one franchise tag.
Vince Wilfork, I kind of half agree, half don't. I think he had a great year. I think he was dominant at times, making plays in the backfield. I thought he's great. He's not overrated as a nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into my whole thing. He was great last year. Yemi didn't even notice that he was great, and your defense wasn't great.
Yeah.
I wonder what the value is there in this day and age. Sure, maybe 10 years ago, it was great to have the best nose tackle in football and stuff the run and, make teams one-dimensional on third down. Well, now teams make themselves one-dimensional on first down. It's a passing league for the most part, and I think that's where the debate comes in. Everybody, that we did debate Friday, Wilfork or Peppers, who would you rather see long-term?
Yeah.
And, reading some of the responses, a lot of people want Wilfork because he's their guy. He's our guy. I just think if you really look at it logically, there's a debate there. There is a debate in this day and age as to how valuable a nose tackle is.
Oh, by the way, but before you go, Paul, we've had a bunch of people write comments on that Debate Friday thing saying, Why can't we have both? It wouldn't be a debate if we said, do you want both? Everybody would want both. The reason it's called Debate Friday is because we want to get people to talk about it.
That would have been how Fred would have answered the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of answering one of the two choices, he would have gone with his own.
Right. Obviously, we all would want to have both players if we had the choice. But assuming we don't have that choice, if you can only sign one of them.
Brady or Manning? Well, Manning can be the backup to Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. We're like the all-decade team.
You were going to say, Paul. I'm sorry.
In regards to Wilfork, I do think he had a strong year, and I think it is one of those situations where if the defense overall was a little bit better, I think he would be even more valuable. But I think you did see, to a large extent, what the email was talking about and what Andy just backed up. He can have a good year, and your defense can still be lacking in other areas. And I think back of how many times the Patriots used to do this to Buffalo when they had Pat Williams and those guys. And even when Pat Williams was on Minnesota, they did it to the Vikings that night. Ted Washington, when he was an opponent in the past, they just would spread it out, go no huddle, and keep those big guys off the field. And I think that you can do that to Wilfork a little bit.
Yeah.
And more teams are either capable of doing that or just flat out do that the bulk of the time, like the Patriots are, you know, a three receiver set base offense.
How much bigger has he gotten since he was drafted? Is there much of a difference?
Since he was drafted, maybe a little, but for the last 3-4 years, I think he's basically the same. He's always led with his gut. I mean, you see him coming around the corner.
Right. Nano writes back in, and he says, Eric doesn't like my name. I don't think I didn't say I didn't like his
name. You did. You made fun of it.
I don't think I did.
Condescending from your high horse.
I wasn't making
fun of
it.
Your name with a K.
Anyway, he writes in to settle the Canada-England debate. He got his answer from Wiki Answers, by the way.
Wiki.
He says, officially, Queen Elizabeth II remains the, Andy, titular head of... the state of Canada. However, it is the Prime Minister of Canada who's the head of the government and is empowered under Canada's constitution to form the federal government and wield executive power. Queen Elizabeth II is not and has never been the Queen of England. But that title has not existed for over 300 years. She is Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So there you go.
I don't really care for her titulars. Bet you they're saggy.
She's like... 80, 90 years old, isn't she?
Oof. Would hate to see
my
her
God.
Naked.
It's like Austin Powers when he was trying to calm himself. And he was, Margaret Thatcher on a cold day. Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
Ugh, yeah.
Yikes.
Give me the heebie-jeebies. Almost can't eat my pizza. Almost.
Almost. It's good pizza, by the way. I've never had Grande's pizza before.
Is yours a thick crust?
Yeah, I ordered the thick crust.
Extra cheese?
No, but... it looks like there's a lot on there. It's good stuff. What'd you get? Oh, you got the Italian signature.
Italiano.
And you're just scarfing off the free pizza that they sent because you have the birthday thing tonight.
Plus, he had his sub.
I had a sandwich.
Oh, you did? I didn't even see that.
I ate it. I was going to be healthy because I'm going to have pizza and stuff tonight, but a couple pieces of pizza early on will lay the foundation.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Paul. From doesn't say where, writes in, please explain to me why it makes sense to franchise Vince Wilfork. It doesn't make sense to me. If you franchise him, then he's probably in a Miami uniform for 2011. If the goal is to make and be competitive in the Super Bowl, who replaces Wilfork? If the goal is maybe to make the wild card game and get blown out, maybe it makes sense. I'm one of those that thought the booing in the Pats playoff game was justified. If they franchise Wilfork and trade down again in the draft, I'm probably going to watch the NFC games on Fox because I can see them starting off, them being the Patriots, I guess, 1-7 next season.
Wow.
I'd rather see them lose.
Even Andy is not that negative.
If there's at least the perception they are trying to get better, which defense would you rather see, Wilfork and Peppers or Wilfork and Seymour, which won't happen? I'd rather see Wilfork and Peppers, I guess.
Well, I'd rather see either than neither.
Well, yeah, but Seymour's not coming back here.
Well, Seymour is flat-out said he's not coming back.
A lot of people have been writing that,
he
too.
He said he will not consider it. Now, that doesn't mean that you close the book on it. I mean, things change.
Vince McMahon production.
Yeah, as Rick Pitino once said, you know, that's how I felt at the time. And that's a very easy...
When he had a woman bent over a table at a restaurant?
When you think of things to say...
Not his wife, by the way.
Do you ever run him, like... through your mind before they actually come out?
Very rarely, sometimes.
I'm just checking. I would be very surprised, however, if Seymour were to change his mind.
I would be shocked if he would change his mind. Can you reread some of that? So if you franchise Wilfork,
he's saying,
you're not in the playoffs or something?
No, he's saying you could go ahead and franchise him if you just want to get in the wild card and get blown out.
He's saying he doesn't really like Wilfork.
And he says you're guaranteeing him being in Miami in 2011. I don't really understand that. Why, if you don't franchise him, Now, aren't you guaranteeing that he'll be in Miami in 2010?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, based on that,
but yeah.
No, based on that premise, I don't.
Yeah, I don't really understand it at all. And again, I'm not really in the you need to keep Wilfork camp.
Necessarily.
I just.
Right.
Not trying to run him out of town. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I think you need to get some playmakers. You need to get a pass rush. You may need to find a top end corner.
I agree.
If you can do all those things and keep Wilfork, then all for it, because I love him. I think he's been a great Patriot, a great nose tackle. My problem is when you start to evaluate money, where you spend your resources. Okay, so you had a Pro Bowl nose tackle and the number 10 pick in the draft up the middle, and your defense was eh.
But regardless of what you think of Wilfork, no matter how good you think he is, no matter how bad you think he is, if you're one of the negative ones, how can you justify just letting him walk for nothing?
You can't.
Well, wouldn't you just franchise him and at least try to trade him?
And you certainly can't in light of you traded Richard Seymour to make sure you didn't lose him for nothing, to maximize the value. I mean, those two things would totally butt
right.
heads. Because if you were going to let the guys walk, then you were trying to win this year, you would have kept Seymour. You didn't. You were thinking long and short term, and you let Seymour be traded.
Right.
Well, traded.
Doc, Yemi wrote back because... Excuse me. He's mad at you for not playing the Charlie.
Well, I mean, we have a defensive end, and we got two tight ends, and we don't touch the mother.
So, context surrounding that clip. Does anybody remember?
I have no idea.
I'd watch a games to go.
It was the
defensive end.
It was the 60 Minutes piece that they did on him when he was coaching Notre Dame, and they had him mic'd up on the sidelines. And
oh, it was a Notre Dame thing.
Yeah.
And was he talking to like
Corwin
one of his
Brown?
Assistants or or?
No. Probably one of the assistants.
Sounds like he's ripping his offensive line.
Right thing. Get the f*** off the field!
Wow.
He's an angry little man.
Potty mouth. What was he, Andy Hart? He's kind of got a little, you know.
That's not very nice to me.
Get the f*** off the field!
Well, you know.
Because you can swear and not be a bad person. I'm not sure if Charlie Weiss is a very nice man. He seems like a very mean person.
Hmm.
Dante Scarnecchia swears a lot and is one of the nicest men you'll ever meet, Eric.
I don't know if I'll ever meet him because he doesn't to talk to anybody on the staff but you.
Nor does the head coach meet you. You might want to start with Bill learning your name and then work your way down the assistants.
That's all right. I'm okay if he doesn't know my name, honestly.
Yeah, you are. That was really, you really sold that one. You actually shed a tear while saying it.
No. Ethan in Delaware.
Fred's not here, so I need to say, is that a tan
crew
neck?
Yeah, we'll go with, tan, khaki, beige, one of those, whatever you want to call it, crew neck.
Just pulled an Andy Hart. You know, we'll go with tan, but then I have to tell you all the other pompous things I could call it.
That is so
Buchanan.
Gay.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling
Good Paul.
James Buchanan, Eric's idol.
No.
Patrick Kennedy? Are you going to run for that
no.
seat? Just so you know, the answer is no.
No, but I'm involved.
You shouldn't even really be considering.
I'm involved in the race.
Really? What are you
supporting,
gonna do?
Supporting a candidate.
Okay, who? Buddy Cianci, is he gonna run?
No, he threw out there that he was thinking about running for mayor again, though.
Are you supporting a candidate or are you like,
what do you mean by support a candidate?
I'm
you slap a bumper sticker?
No, I'm working for the campaign.
Who?
Campaign manager?
No. No.
Who?
Writing speeches, speech writer?
It might involve a lot. It might involve some of that. Yeah.
That's not a good idea for him. Who?
John Laughlin.
Never heard of him.
Republican. He's a state rep.
Laughlin.
Yep. State rep running. But the whole dynamics of the race changed when Kennedy backed out because they were running. The idea was you run against Goliath. You have David running against Goliath. Now there's no Goliath, so it's a bunch of Davids running for that seat. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
His name is David Laughlin?
John.
Then why'd you say it's a bunch of Davids running?
Oh, boy. Crickets. Ethan from Delaware. Haven't heard from him in a while. He says, hey, guys, need your help. I know you're not ready to talk about the draft yet, but I hope you might be in position to talk about the draft party. With the new draft schedule, will there be a draft party this year at the stadium? And he asks because his best man... and he have been talking about having his bachelor party start there before moving on to women drinking and debauchery. Thanks for any information you can give. I've not heard anything yet about...
There will be a draft party at the stadium.
Yes.
It will be on Thursday night in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I would check Patriots.com within the next week or so for the offer for the party.
And if you need entertainment, that because we need lunch on Thursday, I'd check VIPStrippers.com. Strippers, you always lunch.
I think that's
the best in adult entertainment.
But that timing sounds like
at least in the greater New Hampshire area.
That works out great for Ethan.
The tri-state area.
You come here.
Just kidding.
You come here.
Candy was phenomenal.
You watch the draft, and then afterwards you go out with the guys. Because what's it going? What time does the draft start? Like 8 o'clock.
Although Thursday night is not exactly ideal for
7 o'clock.
Having things.
Bachelor parties.
No, might get a lot of love at the clubs though if it's a slow night.
I think that's probably what he's hoping for.
Girls need love too.
Oh.
What? No.
Strippers does not have big. Well, he probably has big girls.
Well,
you're
going to a club or you're going through strippers?
I'd go through strippers.
So
more hands-on.
So there you go, Ethan. You
bring the strippers to the draft party.
Oh. We do have a radio show that night, don't we?
Yeah, but we won't be out there. We'll be in the press box covering the draft.
Yeah, can't get them up to the press box.
We could.
Can we get strippers in our booth? Not you strippers. I mean actual strippers.
His strippers?
Yes.
Strippers? You all right?
I was
choking on over there.
You all right?
Lunch was provided today by our friend Rajiv, who writes
excellent.
In.
Excellent.
Does he give us some details?
It's a good thing he sent this email today. Fred would have just said thank you and moved on because it's about six paragraphs long.
It is.
Well, apparently he's returning from some global trip,
right. Yeah.
An expedition.
Right.
Plus, does he have some details of that? I want to hear.
You give the lunch buyer a little license, too. You let him.
Yeah, exactly.
You let him write as long as he needs to.
Right. Not when Fred's the host.
No,
yeah, that's true. That's why we.
Because Fred can't read.
That's why Paul had to buy his lunch the other day.
Anyway, he says, hope it did not get too late and enjoy the lunch. I had a few questions, thoughts.
You.
I know a lot of people have asked this, but have you guys started looking into the draft prospects and profiles?
Sure.
Somewhat, yeah. And we'll be going to the combine next week.
Yeah, I can't believe next
oh,
week.
Oh, stop bitching. Please. We do this every year. He has to complain about it. And then he gets there and he's
really
all excited.
Fast. You better keep your fat mouth shut over there, fat boy, or your fat ass will be an Indy.
Yeah, we have started, though, but we don't have our film yet to watch. So all we can do is, you know, reading about these guys and
right.
Any other stuff we can glean from here on out. But hopefully we'll be getting the film soon and we can actually start watching the stuff. But... okay, it's a little early, Rajiv says, but I have a few names I thought would look good in a Patriots uniform.
Okay, let's play lightning reaction game.
Right.
Just give me three words.
Right. Round one.
Mayo.
Sergio Kindle.
You love him.
Like
really
him.
Love him.
Like him late first round.
I like him. I'm not
like seven words, about three words.
Like him.
Love him.
Like him.
That's two words. You need a third. Love him first.
Ricky Sapp, Clemson.
Like
not
him.
Not as much.
Don't know as much about him.
I don't like him as much.
So I don't like him as much at this point.
That's why I said like him.
Eric just doesn't get the point of three words. It's like reading one of his features. The only thing that's three words is his lead in every feature.
All right.
Four words for
it rained.
Round 2A. Round 2A, because we got three picks in the second round. Round 2A, defensive end Corey Wooten, Northwestern.
Don't know much about him.
Me neither.
Don't know much.
Don't know nothing.
Round 2B, wide receiver Aurelius Ben,
love
Illinois.
Him. Absolutely
yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Very dynamic athlete.
Like him a lot.
He's no Mendenhall, but.
He's not ridiculous?
They were teammates.
Round 2C.
That's true.
Running back Ryan Matthews, Fresno State.
Don't love him. One game, one goal line stand, looked like a woo-woo.
And cost me.
Oh, in the bowl game. Yes, I know which one you're
cost
talking
me a
about.
Pick.
Some yep. White outside linebacker from
stood him up
Wyoming.
Like no one's
wasn't yeah, some stiff Buffalo.
Yep. That's my only impression of him.
Tremendous
right
production. The one time that we got to watch him, we were unimpressed, underwhelmed.
Some yeah. People are saying he could be the most complete
that,
back in
everybody,
the draft.
Not some people.
You know,
a
the
lot
anti-Spiller, the anti, what's his McClutchin guy? The
oh, yeah.
Dexter, the guy that's like
Dexter,
as big as Eric.
Dexter McClutchin.
Yeah. Is it McClutchin? It's
McSomething.
McClutchin, isn't
it? Oh, all right. McCluster.
McCluster. There you go.
McLittle.
McLovin.
All right. In the last show, someone
that'll
called.
That'll be good. Put you next to him at the combine? See?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Maybe you should get a photo taken because you guys are like the same size.
Really?
Yeah.
I could be an NFL running back, Paul.
Wait, what do you weigh?
150.
All right, so he's a little bigger.
Was he like 180? Like
he's listed at 170, I think.
Who?
Which means he's
about?
Probably 160.
Who are you talking about? I love
the McCluster guy.
Oh, McLovin.
McLovin.
Okay, because I couldn't get beyond him being compared to a premier back.
Well, this is as close as he's ever going to get until the guy moves. You know, then the guy's athletic and Eric is Eric.
Go ahead. Proceed. That's what you were about to say, weren't you?
Probably were. You were.
All right. Rajiv continues. In the last show, somebody called or emailed in saying how Bill wanted to give Bill O'Brien another shot because of a lack of playmakers in the offense, in part because of some of the poor personnel decisions made by Belichick, Galloway, Alex Smith, etc. I tend to agree that with that to a certain extent. I mean, I can understand he doesn't want to lose Matt Patricia or Pepper Johnson, so he's not naming any DC. But there's no situation on the offensive coaching side, so why not just name O'Brien the OC and give him the chance he's been getting?
Because then you got to fire him. Right now, you don't have to fire him if he doesn't prove it. He can stay your quarterback's coach or offensive assistant, but if you name him OC and now you need to change next year, you got to can him.
But if he doesn't pan out, if he doesn't live up to what you want, why would you not want to fire him?
Because I don't think Bill does that. If you do everything he asks, work hard, all that, you will not get fired. You will not get...
Well, then you wouldn't have to fire him then.
I think there's a medium between you worked hard, you gave it your best, but as Cartman said, sometimes your best isn't good enough. He won't fire you.
I just think that he's not, that Bill thinks that he's not coordinator worthy.
Oh, I don't necessarily believe that. Yeah, I
don't see any.
At some point in the next calendar year, you could see him named coordinator. Sooner? Later?
I think there's a chance of that. I think there's a chance.
I think he will be, but.
Before the 10 season?
Yeah.
I think there's a chance.
I think there's a chance. Might be a slim chance, but I think there is a chance.
Okay.
That he could change his mind and say, you know what?
But I don't think you get fired. I don't think if you treat him right, if you treat Belichick right, you may not become a Belichick guy and get promoted and all this, but you won't be just let go.
I'm not saying that I think he should be fired. I'm saying that.
But he would have to be if he ascended to coordinator and you didn't want him anymore. Right now, you have the ability to hire a different coordinator and not really demote Bill O'Brien in a titular sense.
Or if he gets the title, he could get interest from other teams, either in the NFL or in college, and leave of his own accord if he felt like the handwriting was on the wall. Then at that point, you have a title, so you have some sort of gravitas that you can bring to, you know, a college team, say, or...
Well, I think he already has that.
Well, but even more so if you have the title of offensive coordinator in the National Football League, as opposed to just quarterbacks.
But I think coaches, I mean, if anybody was going to hire him, they'd know that he was... He was the play caller. He was the guy.
Sure. Three more quick things from Rajiv. About the 2011 first-round pick we got from Oakland for Seymour, if there's a lockout, will there be a draft?
Yes.
And if not, do we lose our pick from the Raiders, or does it get moved to the 2012 draft? No.
The draft would be the
draft
last
will be the
thing
last
before
thing.
Everything was shuttered.
And we were talking about this last week up in the office. The lockout.
Well, Andy was at his best.
The lockout starts on the opening of the official calendar year for the league, which is usually
so let's just say March
early
5th,
March. Right.
That's when it is this year.
The draft is always in April.
Right.
So they're going to start a lockout, but then open it up again to have a draft, and then close it down again, ostensibly, if they don't
have a deal. Because
they're
not all into the lockout. They're all punanis.
But we were arguing.
Thus, where I was standing.
We were arguing
Andy
that
at his best.
Either you hold the draft before the lockout, like right after the combine, say, or you hold it whenever the lockout ends, because if you've instituted that rookie salary pool, in theory, it should be quicker to sign rookies because you're not having to worry about dealing with these big-time picks who want to have these humongous contracts.
And then Andy said, technically, if you draft me with the number one overall selection in the 2011 draft, I am being drafted under the old rules. It's the last thing you're doing under your old rules before you lock out and then come up with this new thing. So when you come back,
so you smell lawsuit.
I'll be fine as long as you hand me my $65 million
and
that you handed Jamarcus Russell.
And they're going to say, sorry, son.
And if you try to hand me $9 million on a three-year deal,
you're going to sue?
I will call the Supreme Court and put my case in now, however I get there quick, because I'm blowing this crap up because that ain't right. That's where Paul said I was angry and worked up.
Yeah. I have no
I don't know
problem
why
with the draft being in April.
Would if you were the first overall pick.
No, I'm not talking about the rookie salary pool. That's a different argument. They're going to have to work that out. Something's going to have to be done with that, because you can't just grandfather something in blindly, although they would do it to rookies if they're going to do it to anybody, something like that.
But
I have no problem with having a lockout that starts in March and continuing with the draft. I think you need to have the draft and operate, because I think that the probability is that the lockout will not stop football from being played.
And that's what they're going with.
It will be a lockout in a titular sense.
So they're half into the lockout. Because if they were really going to lock out and just, oh, we're not going to play football this year,
right.
Then we don't need a draft.
Exactly. No, not necessarily. I think that it'll be...
Or you just start the season whenever... It'll be a lockout of convenience.
I think it's going to be...
In the offseason.
But I think it's going to be incumbent on the players to take a little bit of the negotiating, because I don't think that the owners are going to back down.
I'm not sure the players are going to back down.
Well, then I think we will miss football.
I think we will.
Yeah,
I think there's going to have to be some compromise.
Owners have more to lose.
That's an interesting question.
We'll do it
I'm not
live.
Sure.
Here's the thing, though. Most all owners in the NFL found a way to make money without the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
How many players did so?
No, I know, but they have more to lose. I'm not saying the players don't have more to gain, but the owners have more to lose.
But I just think they're good businismen, and they can work around it.
Well,
they can go on to
they already have.
Exactly.
DirecTV got snookered into paying them $1 billion.
I don't think that the owners have more to lose.
Oh, I do. I think when some guy from Sovereign Bank walks in and says, we now own Patriot Place and Gillette Stadium, get out. You have a lot to lose. Dallas, you have $1 billion stadium that
it's
you're trying to do all these other events.
However,
they have
weeks.
A lot to lose. And right now in the economy...
I'm not saying they don't have a lot to lose. They do.
They are thought of as the gold standard. Even fans still love the NFL. It's still always, those polls, it's always the highest fan appreciation.
It's not even close. The NFL is the most popular.
You give people an opportunity to go away in tough times, season tickets, not spend as much in your pro shop, not order Sunday ticket. You give them an opportunity, a window,
they'll be back.
They might take it.
They'll be back.
I'm not so sure.
All right, two more
Nobody
things.
Wants to see a pissing contest between millionaires.
But they came back when all of the other sports have done this, and they came back, and they're not as popular as the NFL, not even close.
No, I know, but I think that the time.
I don't think
they'll
the
come back eventually.
I don't think the time has a lot to do with it.
Oh, I do. I think a lot of people are hurting right now, economically.
There's no question about that.
Forcing themselves to maintain it. If you give them the ability to drop, it's like me with my Boston Globe.
It's a bad image time.
I dropped my Boston Globe and thought I'd miss it. I didn't miss it a bit.
Time. But my point is not necessarily – I'm talking about interest in your game. I'm not talking about specifics in terms of economics and whatnot and how many people are going to show up here to tailgate and do all that stuff. I'm talking about the interest in the game, I think, is going to maintain unless they do something dramatically stupid and, end up taking 2 years off or something like that.
Oh.
The NHL is as unpopular a professional sport as there is. They went through a lockout, and it's
anybody
always
notice, though?
It's oh, of course they did. But it's always been a cultural sport anyway. It's
right.
It's a cult following.
And that's its strength.
And they came back.
Right, because it is a cult.
The NFL
has a lot of secondary tier fans
to lose.
The NFL
is a cult of about 100 times the scale.
I don't think so. I think the NFL, the reason they were able to come back is because if you're an NHL fan, you love the NHL. You're not along for the ride because your friends are watching or because this or because it's the cool thing to do. You like hockey and you like the NHL. You're a true Bruins fan, blah, blah, blah. I think NFL has a lot of fans that are
football
fans
but
are kind of along for the ride.
You're talking about economics. The NHL's fans are definitely at the lower end. There's more blue-collar people watching the NHL than probably the other pro sports, and they were disillusioned.
But they truly love it. But they truly love it. They
can't
stay away.
And you don't think people truly love the NFL?
I think
there's more people that truly love the NFL than the NHL?
Absolutely.
Yeah, as a sum total, yes, but as a percentage, no. I think 80% of hockey fans are true hockey fans. I think maybe 50% of football fans are true football fans, and the other 50% are along for the ride because it's what you do.
It's the most popular game.
It's the most popular sport, and we have club seats, and we do all this crap. It's cool to go to an NFL game.
I actually agree with that. I agree with your numbers there. They're probably pretty close.
Really? Because I just pulled them out of my woo-hoo.
Well, I'm not talking about specific stats. I'm saying I think there's a higher percentage of people that love the NHL than love hockey than people that follow the NFL and love football. I think – you're probably right about that, but I don't know why that you would lose that other 50%.
Because
they would find other stuff to do. But they would still think it's the thing to do when it comes back.
But it might not be the thing to do anymore.
But it
the economy.
Be. Why wouldn't it be?
You don't pay it.
I feel like Fred today.
Give
him the Nobel Prize.
And this is the second show in a row where Paul has made a football versus hockey
and
argument.
I'm on different sides.
And you're on different sides of it this time. But we're going to get to that. We're going to bring that up again
in fairness.
And by the way,
not that Andy's saying the opposite. He's not. But you can't make the argument that hockey is more popular than football.
No.
Football's the most popular sport. And I don't think there's a close second. I mean, baseball is it, but it's not close.
The other thing that I would question, I don't know the legalities of any of this, but
except for in Boston.
In a tough economic time when owners are thankful that they have 5- and 10-year deals on club seats and luxury suites, couldn't somebody argue that next September 7th, 2011, when you don't have a game, you voided some contract, and all these luxury suite owners that want to get out of their deal can get out of it because you voided it by not providing an NFL football game with Tom Brady on the football field?
Right.
I think that's a lot to lose because I think there's a lot of people that would like to get out.
No, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot to lose, but I think there's, I think you're underestimating what the players have to lose. They don't have any earning power.
But I know, but
95% of the NFL players don't have earning power outside of the game.
They have more to gain by playing, but I don't think they have as much to lose. I think there's a lot of players that make, like Ray Ventrone was making $325,000, and he goes and he makes his $50,000 or $40,000 working for his dad's construction company. But I think there's owners who could lose their shirts, lose their team, lose everything.
Not if they're smart.
Well, I'm not sure all of them are smart, first of all. And I think, I just think sometimes you get in trouble. You know, you make these financial decisions. You don't necessarily believe the lockout's going to come, and all of a sudden you're going to have to go 8 months without football and no one in your stadium, and all your luxury owners bail out. And now all of a sudden you own Giant Stadium and everybody bailed. And now they want their PSLs back because you voided that contract. And not only are you not getting people coming in, you owe them money. And I just think the players have more to gain by playing. I think the owners have potentially a lot to lose.
I agree with that premise, but I also agree with what Paul said. I think fans would be upset while the lockout was happening and while games were being missed, and even some club holders would probably say, I want my money back. As soon as the games resumed, those same fans, I think very few of them would stay away. I think most of them would come.
Well, what do you mean by stay away? I think they'll all watch it on TV. I think you'd get 90% back in your ratings.
If you're, let's say, make the majority. Let's say you're a suite holder and you go to the crafts and say, you know what, I want my money back. I don't want the suite anymore. You take it. I don't think that same person is coming back groveling saying, I was just mad. I want my suite back. I think there'd be very few of those people who say, take it. I don't want it. And I'm never coming back. I think most of them would come back.
I think a lot of it's financial. I think a lot of people bought into these stadiums when things were riding high in, 2, 3, 4. And now all of a sudden things are riding low and they're stuck in the deals. Small companies, mid-level companies that bought things that were probably above their head.
Yeah.
Just like people were buying houses that were above their head. And if you give them an out, I think you'd see people taken out.
We also should say that.
I have no idea what we're talking about?
We don't, because none of us has really an idea about any kind of business stuff. But
which would be no different if Fred were here.
It'd be even more even worse, no question. But none of us think that they're going to miss
football.
He would
make you think that he knew what was going
right.
on.
The IRS would never allow that. What are you talking about?
Hey, Doc. Right. None of us think that they're going to miss any football.
No. That's so, why I deem it a lockout of convenience.
Right. It'll happen in the off season. But I do think that you're sort of...
It's like Paul's diets. He always diets in like late February when there's no one buying him lunch, there's no free pizzas, there's no nothing.
Exactly.
It's a diet of convenience.
Exactly.
He'll show you.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, free pizza's back? My diet's over.
But I think when you're talking about all the potential revenue trouble they can have, I think you're sort of looking past the money saved.
No, I know.
And they're getting the TV money. Yeah, but they're not paying payroll.
Put that atop the things I don't understand.
I mean, that's $128 million.
Snookered them. Got snookered in. I mean,
that's one of the greatest business deals of all time. It has to be. Especially, I mean, they're gambling big that there's going to be football.
What if DirecTV? DirecTV. Just says, I go out of
I'm
business.
Not
I'm not paying it.
Then it's one of the worst deals of all time for the NFL. Last two things from Rajiv, our lunch buyer.
None of these involve what he's been doing globally. I want to hear about different women in different continents.
Did you guys see the parade?
And the globes.
Down in Louisiana. What did you think of the costume Drew Brees was wearing? I think given what he has done for that place, he can wear anything he wants, but I just wanted your opinion. I did not see it.
Did not see it. Doc, can you get me a photo?
Drew Brees at the parade last Tuesday. And finally,
It must have been kind of like his ESPN commercial when he's riding the float.
That's
back up!
That's up.
I'm stuck! What do you want me to do?
I forgot about that commercial.
And finally, a friend of mine and I are driving up in the summer to see the Patriots open up training camp. We both have been following the Patriots for more than a long time, but it will be our first trip to Gillette Stadium. I was Just hoping if we could meet up with you guys and see how the show is run and buy you lunch.
Of course.
Of course you can.
I was even going to say, of course, before you added the last line about buying us lunch.
Right.
But we need another email, Rajiv. Send an email. I want to know where you were, what you did, who you did.
Give us the deets. All the details on the...
the deets.
On the big world
trip. Spend the one I say, give us the 911.
That's true.
The deets. Why, you've never heard that before?
Not really, actually.
Yeah. Except for my 13-year-old niece.
Texting.
All right. Well, while Doc checks up on that Drew Brees photo, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your emails and phone calls.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Hello, loyal listeners of PFW in Progress and, of course, Shop Talk. I wanted to take a moment and let you know that I will be leaving the Patriots airwaves. I've enjoyed my time here and enjoyed keeping all of you up to date on the Patriots. I couldn't leave without sharing some of my favorite memories of the PFW staff. Andy, you actually taught me 2 very important lessons. First, I should never sit behind you during press conference because I could never see around that giant head of yours. You also taught me that during training camp or before a game that I always need to get to the food line before you or there will be nothing left. Eric, I'll never forget all of the amazingly boring questions that you would ask Bill during his weekly press conferences. But at least when you asked them, you were wearing that gorgeous forest green crew neck or, of course, the famous Argyle tan sweater. Paul, I'll miss our debrief sessions and 5 points every week, but I definitely won't miss the glare of the lights off of your balding head. I can't thank you enough for making me look so great on TV. Fred, or should I say Ben in North Attleboro, Stephen Medford, or any of the other names you came up with during Shop Talk. I don't think we would have gotten through the show without 15 emails from you weekly. In all seriousness, it was great working with all of you guys. I will miss you all, and so for the very last time, here it is, cherry pie and hot naked burrito. Take care, everyone. and the doctor definitely made me do this.
I miss Christina already.
Yeah, me more than you guys. She was talking about my briefs.
And your balding head.
Hey.
And making her look good.
Why don't you go bald?
She didn't need your help to look good.
That great all if she right made it, though. Own. Like, if she was the next Aaron Andrews, then we could play this clip later.
Yeah.
And we could end up in this.
That was the real reason why she didn't want to do this.
Right. She really thinks she's going to make it.
Taking shots. When they can't fight back. That's Andy Hart in a nutshell.
She can fight back. She has a phone.
Took everything we had to get her to read that little bit that Doc wrote.
It would just be the extension of... And by the way, Andy, you are starting to co-star with me in The One That Was Left Behind.
I know.
There have been enough guys who have left this place now.
Well, but she didn't really leave.
And gone on to bigger and better things.
I know.
She left. The other guys go yet.
I could leave. I could quit tomorrow.
You did.
Go for a weekend. You did, and you came back the
right.
next day.
No, I actually had a job.
Fancy.
Right.
That you got
she doesn't have a job.
Right.
12-year-old scared him.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth, I will miss you.
Whatever.
And I'm not as experienced with 12-year-olds as you are.
He's the one guy who didn't leave us behind.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
So on the last show, you may have heard if you were listening before the show started that Doc was replaying last show when Paul was getting people all upset about
listen,
hockey being a tougher sport than
just
football.
Just read the emails.
Another emailer.
Set them all up.
Well, because
not
some
well.
People don't.
People know.
All right. Well,
when I say stupid things, people know. Believe me.
That's true.
I hear about it every day.
That is true. This has been the show for emailers we haven't heard from in a while. Jason and Chiba, you remember him?
Yeah, but is it just because Fred usually skips over these emails?
Well, I don't know.
He says he hasn't been around because I emailed back and forth with him a little bit this morning.
Right.
He said, I forget where he was.
And
he's been gone for a while.
When he writes in, he's usually wrong, but in his first line, he's absolutely correct. He says, hey, Corksoakers, I know you didn't miss me.
Well, I did.
Absolutely right.
I like our regulars. By the way, I've been meaning to put a call up for
irregular.
Lucky. Where is Lucky? Lucky. Emails, calls, mm-hmm. Lucky. If you're out there, we'd like to hear from you, Lucky.
Yeah, it's a good point.
What about this guy?
Guys, how you doing? I'm a big fan.
He
had a job or something that prevented him from participating.
No, but we heard from him.
That was sweet.
Yeah, he called.
He called
November or something.
Yeah,
he called
pretty recently.
His father actually called or wrote in. His father might have written in.
So he's still out there.
Right.
There's been no tale of Lucky. He's pulled a Craig from the Carolinas and disappeared, and I don't like that.
Anyway, Jason and Chiba.
I have an echo in my...
You're doing fine.
You're doing all right over there. Don't
worry
about it.
It's just in my ears of these cheap headsets.
It's just in your giant head that's
you're doing fine.
Mostly empty. I bet you didn't even really notice I was gone.
Your mom likes my head. I'm going to say it again. Your mom likes my head.
I'm still working on postseason superlatives, which will come out in audio form soon. But for now, since I cannot stand it anymore, I'm coming out of... Jason and Chiba.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Paul, editor of The PFW, all in caps. You're an idiot.
I agree.
Two times during the past season... You've said things that, if spoken by another member of your staff, might well have been interpreted as on-the-job inebriation.
He has no staff.
Number one.
I work for Fred.
I beg your pardon.
I don't work for a man like that. Oh, that's right. You do have a staff that's poked other people or something.
It's been poached.
Like a poached egg? You poached your staff?
Number one, hockey players were more likely to be injured than football players. You dismissed as crazy every theory as to why that might be,
what he does if you don't agree with him.
But just let Fred read that all-cause injury email again. Twice the number of football players, four times the number of football injuries, in one-fifth the number of games. I get the gamer, tough, and pay scale arguments. You can't argue them with an injury rate 10 times greater per man per hour. Idiot. Number two.
It's not exactly what I said, but
number
I'll,
two.
I'll live with that criticism. Okay. I will not, however, live with this one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Football from previous eras was more athletic. I'm no longer sure when this flaming pile up.
Going back to the 40s.
I never, ever, 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 ever said
happened
that today's players aren't more athletic than they were 20 years ago.
But you were arguing
with Fred.
Sorry,
I'll never admit to that. I don't care what he
about the Pat's recent
I don't care what
history.
He produces for tape. I'm not buying it. I never said that.
So even if we hear the audio?
I never said.
He's John Edwards over here.
I never said
everything.
Today's athletes aren't more athletic.
Didn't you remember hearing him say that, Andy?
I did, actually. I do recall hearing it. It was somewhere after he said, let's go Wildcat all the time. I may have been drunk that day.
Fred was giving this homer option opinion about how the Pats are perfect and whatever, but you said that football was becoming less athletic. That's poor to me. If you want to defend it, start now. If other listeners want to defend you, start now.
They don't.
I'm listening.
It was out of... It was,
idiot.
First of all, I don't...
The angry, as always, Jason and Chiba.
And I like
good to have you back, Jason.
I like the angry... That's what I wrote to him. At the end, I wrote, it's good to have you back. Where you been?
Yeah, why haven't you bought us lunch?
Because that part I take exception to. The hockey thing, listen, people don't take my side. That's fine. The athletic part, there is no argument. To say that today's athletes in all sports aren't more athletic, I mean, aren't bigger, stronger, faster, the things that we generally associate athleticism with, that's, you can't make that argument. And I never said that.
I could.
I never said they're not more skilled.
There's not one guy today who's as athletic as Bo Jackson.
Skilled is different.
Not one guy. Big, fast, strong.
But we're talking about the whole, not one individual.
Oh, okay, I'm out.
But when I was talking about the game, in my opinion, isn't as good today as it was, say, 25 years ago. I think the technology, the preparation, all the things that go along with it, it's all about deception now. But in terms of pure athleticism, you have these linebackers that are 270 pounds that can run like the wind. I mean, there's no comparison in terms of the flat out one guy against another. Jack Lambert would look like a peewee football player next to,
and there was
Adalys Thomas.
A lot less specialization back then.
That's what I was alluding to. Not pure athleticism, and that's the only part of that.
The game definitely has changed in our generation.
But I don't
from when we were growing up watching football to the way it is now. It's a very different game.
My reputation for
the
for
one you're
idiotic
not too
comments,
far away from.
My reputation for idiotic comments on this show is well deserved.
Sure,
well deserved. Sure,
although
is.
I still think I have the dumbest thing ever said.
Well, we all have our moments.
I agree. When I argued that I don't know what you said, Rohan Davey and Corey Dillon than Tom Brady and somebody else.
Not until you just mentioned it, but absolutely, I do. Now that you say it, I can't believe some of the things that you.
I'm not sure
with.
I really.
This
even
is what you guys
it.
Always do. You no. change my
well,
argument.
Well, like
words in my mouth.
It's like the when Fred starts. What happens? Fred's bad for me because what happens is. Fred starts in with his football stuff, you know, like it's harder to evaluate a football player than anything else, and it's harder to do this in football than anything else. And then you, all of a sudden you're saying, well, it's not the only sport that you're susceptible to injury, Fred.
Right.
Hockey, you know, you're just, and then all of a sudden you take
some
the,
guy in
there's
Japan's
another sport,
ripping you a new one.
But you take another sport and you say that guys get hurt in it, and it's now you're saying that more guys get hurt. And you exaggerate, and that's what happens. I probably exaggerated to make a point. Football has the most injuries, okay? I'm admitting that. Football has more injuries. I did
you
say,
beat him into
however,
submission. The fans beat him into submission.
There are, you know, almost 2.5 more players per football team than a hockey team. So I would like to see percentages
yeah, but
he
there. He broke it down to per man, per hour, per something.
And I also would say, in my opinion.
Took it a little too far.
What you know, not to sound like Fred here, but what are we defining as an injury? Because in hockey, you take a puck to the face, you go to the locker room, and you're back for the next shift. Is that not an injury? Because I wouldn't consider that an injury in hockey. Guy didn't even miss any time.
But in, sure.
You know, but it's an injury in football. The guy's on the injury list the next week.
Sure.
Before the next game, the injury report. So I'll take my medicine for that one.
Okay.
Football, more injuries. I'll take my medicine. I never said that athletes today aren't better than yesterday.
Okay. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, the phone number.
We still think they should use the Wildcat all the time, though.
And trade Brady.
We have a game.
For Matthew Stafford, straight up.
We have a game from
Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford.
Hey, guys, Peter in Ireland here. Yes, I'm still drunk, Andy.
A drunk Peter.
little
Sometimes drunk Peters don't work right.
Little personnel game, yes or no? You ready? You
no.
guys ready?
Sure.
No.
Tim Tebow,
right, move
third
on.
Round.
No.
No.
Yes.
How? They don't have a third round pick.
Well, if they acquire one.
Deets. Don't get lost in the deets.
Don't get lost in the deets.
If they had one, take him in the third round, sure. Better than one of the three second round picks, no?
But I'd rather see him in the fifth.
Okay, fine.
Or not at all.
LeGarrette Blount, second round.
No.
I'd have to learn more about him, but I would probably say no. I think you could probably get him a little later. Probably. I
probably.
Have to do more before that one comes back to haunt me next week.
I'm going
to
say...
have to do a little more research.
I'll say yes on that one. But again, we do have to do a lot of research on these guys. Terrence Cody, first round. No, not me.
No.
You're going to love this one, Andy. Jordan Shipley, second round.
No.
That's probably where he's going to get taken. I don't love him. I don't love him.
With 3 second-round picks, would you?
No.
Would you risk one of them on him?
I don't like him that much.
I have to see more of
him. See, the thing with Tebow,
that sounds a little too high.
Do we have more?
Oh yeah, there are more.
Okay, go ahead.
But if you want to make a comment, go ahead.
No, we'll make comments at the end.
Okay. Javier Arenas, second round.
No.
I like. You don't like him. I like him.
Yeah.
No. Playmaker.
It's hard to. It's really hard to do this game, but
I'm not ready to go all in on this yet.
Yeah,
but I can slot a guy by round.
It's very difficult
see,
right now.
You guys are ahead of me.
Always will be.
In regards
unless
to
you
that.
Want to go to the combine. Last minute change.
That was good, Andy. Unless you want to go to the combine.
See, I just fluff him right off.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I always knew you were a fluffer.
Yeah, fluffer.
So that's what you'll be doing while I'm at the combine?
So Javier Arenas, yes, no, second round?
You know what? Nah, never mind. I like Javier. I don't know where he's supposed to be drafted. That's the problem. I mean, I like the player, but if they tell me, you know, there's plenty of really good college players that catch my eye that they're slotted to be sixth-round picks.
Right. Two more. One more for the rookies. Derek Morgan, first round.
Oh, I love Derek Morgan.
Wow, that's unequivocal.
He won't be available at 24.
No,
he
will
not be. Picking 24, right?
22.
He will not be available. He's not going to be available. And I don't know that he's the perfect fit.
I like him, though.
He's a good pass rusher.
Not to be confused with Criminal Minds, Derek Morgan. Go ahead.
I wasn't confused.
Did you ever watch that show, Eric? It's a cerebral show.
I've never seen that show.
You'd like it. You'd fancy yourself.
Quasi.
Straight.
Intellect. A Buchanan.
Where was I? Okay, now some trades. Anquan Boldin, first round.
A first rounder for Anquan Boldin.
No. Because it's going to cost you too much in compensation.
And he's hurt all the time.
Monetary compensation.
Monetary. Yeah, I agree. I'll say no.
He's worth a first round pick
if
he had an already affordable contract. There's my girl, a little snow in the background.
Megyn Kelly.
God bless her.
On Fox, in case you were wondering.
I'll snow some white down on her.
Hey, Fox.
God! Unbelievable.
The filter, Andy.
I have to admit, I was thinking it, but my God.
I had that size, and there's no filter in
there. Has she done it? Usually these.
Has she done any?
No.
Usually I didn't think she got there.
Any vids?
These Fox-type hotties end up in, like, Maxim or something. Has she done that?
Know.
Strippers. If you got any pictures of Megyn Kelly.
That's Megan with a Y.
In a bikini or less. Forward, please.
Preferably less. Julius Peppers, first and fifth.
First and a fifth. But he's a free agent.
You don't have to trade for him.
I guess he's assuming he gets tagged.
No, because, again, the money and the...
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Mike Vanderjerk on the TV screen, everybody pausing for a second.
Well, you're the host. You're running this game.
I'm waiting for a yes or no answer from...
We both said no.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Money.
I didn't hear you.
I'm
sorry.
Too much money.
All right, Josh Cribbs, second rounder. Yes, I would do that.
No.
I wouldn't either.
Really?
He's a part-time player. I love the guy as a player, but...
He wants money and he's part-time.
Game-changing kick returner?
Sure, but as a part... I mean, he's a part-time player. That's all he is a returner. So, and he wants a lot of money. So you have to give the second-round pick and then give him money.
See, that's my problem with
Matt
the trades.
Matt Castle, at least, is a franchise quarterback that you're trading for and giving money.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on that. That's with the trades.
Plus,
I think his run is done.
Returners have runs. It's like a 2 or 3 year span where you absolutely rule the league, and then you're out.
When was the last time?
It's been a while.
Devin Hester has made a.
Well, they kind of took some of his duties away. They tried to make him a receiver.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
but he failed.
The bottom line is, as a returner, usually there's a window. It's not.
And you think it's closed?
Usually, you're not a decade returning 2 kicks a year.
I think he is an excellent returner, and he's not just a returner either. He's a great special teams guy all around, but. If it was just second-round pick and we get this guy, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's second-round pick plus a 5-year, whatever, $40 million contract that he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be that much, but you know what I mean.
But, Paul.
What about my butt? Leave it alone.
I was just going to say you could run the Wildcat full-time.
You need to start saying however on this show.
I spell butt with one T, not how you spell it. Butt boy.
No
Read
filter
the next
today.
Email.
No filter today.
Nothing.
He never thinks either. It just comes flying out.
First round.
Much like the potato skins.
Brandon Marshall,
right
first rounder.
Toilet. What?
Brandon Marshall,
nope.
First rounder.
No,
I wouldn't touch
this one.
No.
Has nothing
no
to
way.
Do with the compensation.
No,
I don't
it's
want
the
any
player,
part of
the
player. The
person. Right. This is going to be a no for me. And a blast from the past, Mike Vick, fifth round pick. Hell no.
I think he's worth a fifth round pick. I just don't think the Patriots need him.
Yeah.
I would say.
And like the previous one, no interest in the
I would trade a fifth round pick for him.
I would definitely trade a fifth round pick for Mike
Not
Vick.
For his salary, right, though? Because doesn't he have like a $6 million salary for this year? Is that how that works?
I thought he had a bonus
he had
coming,
option.
And that's why they're getting rid of him.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've always wanted to have a Wildcat option. I've been on the Mike Vick, Pat White bandwagon.
But I would definitely trade a fifth-round pick for Michael Vick. That's stealing. I mean, you're getting a much more talented player than a fifth-round pick.
I mean, Matthew Slater, Michael Vick.
And
Touché.
You know what's somewhat interesting to me is the fact that every show Andy manages to get a rocket shot in
Matthew Slater. It's
and
true.
It's not
and he's never done anything to you.
He's never done anything to you.
I mean, I have to call him a kid. He's so young-looking, too.
He's getting tossed in with the bathwater or whatever?
Toss the baby out with the bathwater.
Because
I also love how he butchers all of those.
I'm ripping the pick. You picked a special teamer in the fifth round and a guy who's not going to return kicks for you and be this elite guy. You picked like a gunner who can't tackle and balls bounce off his face. And it's not his fault. He's a nice guy. He's
footballs.
Trying. He's doing the best
Andy.
He can.
Footballs, right? You said balls bounce off his face.
You know what I mean.
You know, the receivers.
I'm not good for Andy today.
No, not at all. And finally, he's...
Good game, by the way. Whose game?
It's Drunk Peter in Ireland.
Drunk Peter. Good job staying sober.
On the Pro Bowl, why not have it go international? Make it more attractive for the players to travel and draw crowds. Oh, and quick question. Considering long-term traveling America, do you guys have cider in the U.S.? Entertaining as always, guys.
Apple?
Hard cider? Apple cider?
I'm assuming he wants hard cider.
Yeah, they do, right?
Yeah.
He likes his cider like he likes his man.
Oh, God.
What happened
now
to you this weekend? What did you do this weekend?
Now you're just trying.
Really?
The Pro Bowl could go international.
Do you think that would get players to go, though?
The right places, yeah.
Like where?
I'm not sure.
Caribbean?
I'm not so sure.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it.
Because Hawaii is as close to international as it got.
Monaco.
Oh, boy. Do they have gambling there?
Yeah, that was kind of the road I was. Places where they would see it as like a party, a fun atmosphere, I think you could get them. And I think from a fan perspective, whether you fly to Hawaii or you fly to some, I mean, Hawaii's already, for most people, you got to fly halfway across the country across the country and then to Hawaii. So I think in the right, you know, Paris maybe, people would say, oh, that's interesting, Paris. I've always wanted to see Paris. Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of... It's a very liberal place.
I think you could... You might have, like, a five-year run. I don't know how long you could keep it up, but I think
then
that would be more interesting than the week before the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl city. I think that's a better...
Oh, yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
That's a... I think that's light years better.
Cancun.
That idea is light years better than what they did this year.
You got the Montezuma's Revenge thing. I don't think people...
You just drink bottled water.
What do you think the percentage is of NFL players that vacation somewhere in that area?
Cabo.
Cabo. Isn't that where Romo went?
Cozumel.
Come on. Or, you know, all of those.
And what do you think the percentage is of NFL players that drink water out of the tap?
No, right. But
even at their house.
Yeah, but you want to draw the fans there. And a lot of
drink bottled water at the hotel like I did when I went there for my honeymoon.
I have
the worst
fans,
system on the planet.
A lot of travelers
mentioned
that as a deterrent.
Fans in the stands are the least of the worries of that game. They're trying to get the players to go there and they're trying to get people to watch it.
What's
on
in
TV.
South America? Brazil.
Yeah. Rio.
Giselle could host it.
But I do think that solution is light years better than what they tried to do.
I agree. That was a great email.
I just think if it goes too far in terms of
amazing
Europe
what you do when you're drunk,
or
huh?
wherever, I don't think you're going to get people to want to go.
Well, my point was just keep it within a similar radius of Hawaii. Whatever the flight is to Hawaii, that's a long one.
You could definitely do Europe in that
Sydney?
Flight time.
That'd be a long one.
That's a long
one. They've done preseason games, though, in Sydney.
I think you could do it. Maybe someplace in Africa.
Egypt.
Egg pite. I think that's a plausible idea for some period of time. It would be intriguing. I think that, you know, Europe, all
the big
Barcelona,
cities, Rome, Paris,
Rome,
Barcelona,
whatever, something like that. You know, four or five trips to Europe.
I'm with you. I like it.
As I said, still, it's way better an idea
Ireland,
than
Scotland.
Miami the week before.
Absolutely. All right, Zach in Syracuse. Hey guys, if the draft was today,
it's not.
I would say the Pats. If it was, I would have to say the Pats take a pass rusher with the 22nd pick. Hopefully, Kindle. Yes. But let's say, hypothetically, the Pats sign Peppers. Do you see them taking a running back with that pick? That's point number one. He has 2 points.
I don't think they would necessarily avoid a pass rusher if they signed Peppers, but I do think it becomes less of a need.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I think there's that if you can get the pass rusher, Peppers, you sign him.
Right.
Now you open up all pass rusher. Now I think you have the ability to do. Yeah, if you think a great pass rusher is there, you take him. If you think a great running back is there, a great wide receiver, a great inside linebacker to put next to Mayo, a great defensive lineman, somebody slips that you like, mm-hmm. a great offensive lineman, I think that pretty much opens up the door for great. Mm-hmm. Take the great available player. And corner, another corner, if a great corner slipped.
It sounds like Zach is really leading the witness here, because his second point is, what do you guys think of Javid Best, running back from Cal? I watched a couple of interviews with him, and he's a real well-spoken, smart guy, something we don't see enough in young players, not to mention a great running back. Do you like him, and what round would you take him?
Like him from what I've seen.
I do like him, regular. I don't love him. And he also has a head issue that really worries me. Yeah. He had a very serious concussion.
Yep. The YouTube Javid Best, and you'll see where he gets sort of...
Oh, he lands right on his head.
Amazing he survived that.
Saw that game. That play. He had a huge game.
He's less than... I put him well below Spiller. I like Spiller as the big play guy.
So far, he's the number one back. I have to agree.
All right. Like a lot of emails. Right.
Yeah, no, like there is. I'm sorting through here. Preston from Brockton, becoming a regular on this show, says, hey guys,
say not his real name.
I'm with you, Andy. I'm not really pulling for the Wilfork campaign. I agree we could use him, but I think with the age and the money and his conditioning, those all come into factor. I think we should tag him, then trade him for something. I think there are a lot more needs for this team, and they don't regard nose tackle.
Yeah. The problem is, as much as I say you don't need him and you had him and you weren't great, I do sort of fear a defensive line of Ty Warren, Ron Brace, and Mike Wright.
Yep.
Or Myron Pryor.
Or Myron Pryor, whatever.
Whoever it is.
You know, now all of a sudden, within the course of a year, you've gone from Warren, Seymour, Wilfork, your first-rounders, to Warren, who has kind of been underwhelming of late and injured as the main guy left from that group. So I am a little scared of that happening, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people... I'm not saying that's... you're set if you let Wilfork go.
Yep.
Because I could certainly see week one, week two, all of a sudden you're saying, oh my God, we're giving up 175 yards a game on the ground because they're manhandling Mike Wright and they're pushing Myron Pryor around and Brace comes in. So I'm scared there too, but I'm also scared of committing $50 million to Vince Wilfork over the next 5 years.
This situation is really strange because I think we're all in agreement on it too. I think the player is worth the money he's looking for. I think he has played on a rookie contract and produced to the level that he is very much within his rights to be looking for what he's supposedly looking for. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I have absolutely zero problem with the team saying, I'm awfully reluctant to do that for all the reasons that the emailer just said and Andy just said.
Everybody's right.
Everybody, there's no bad guy here. I don't think anybody's doing anything wrong. Now, if somehow they can find a happy medium and keep him here for the next, 4 or 5 years at a little bit less than that number, then I think that would be the best for all parties. But I don't blame Wilfork if he looks and says, I know I can get more in the open market. And I really think he's crazy if he signs now. Why wouldn't you just wait another couple of weeks and make sure that you can't get whatever you want
test it,
and then you decide in your mind, well, would I rather have $40 million somewhere else or – you know, would I be more content with $28 million here or whatever, $23 million, whatever it is that people are throwing out there for estimates? And then the choice is yours. But right now, by signing now, I mean, I know that there's some tampering and all that stuff involved, but by signing now, you kind of close the door on what exactly you
have available. Right, you don't give yourself the option to shop yourself around at all. Uh-huh. I agree.
Speaking of
tampering, did you see the thing about Gunther Cunningham?
About wanting ex-Chiefs that are going to be released.
Yeah, why is that tampering? If he's not using individual names, specific names.
I don't know how it works. Okay. Because they're obvious enough to the people involved that I don't know.
Who's complaining that it's tampering? The league?
Florio.
Or?
No. No one in the league. Florio has a definite bug up his butt about tampering. He writes about it every year at this time. And he was saying how the Chiefs don't have a problem with it. And the NFL has said that it's not even on their radar or something like that. They haven't even, the quotes haven't really even crossed their desks. And he's saying it most certainly is tampering. And if you're not talking to someone right. specifically, where's the tampering? I don't quite get that.
I don't know.
And we all know why no one files any tampering charges, because everybody tampers.
Right.
So if the Chiefs file tampering charges, you don't think the Lions are going to prove that
right.
the Chiefs are doing the same thing to somebody else?
Yeah. The whole tampering thing, I think, is ridiculous.
It's like ethics and politics.
It just doesn't, to me, I don't see why there's an advantage to have anti-tampering rules in.
There's no tampering.
Thanks. But I mean, I don't see
why. It seemed a bit obvious, but I thought I'd voice it.
I really don't see how it's that big an advantage.
Deion Branch wants out of town, and he can find out that another team is willing to pay him $20 million more than the Patriots are offering. That doesn't hurt the Patriots and help Deion Branch in his efforts to void his contract and move on and get a new contract.
But I'm saying I think that kind of stuff.
Patriots asked Lawyer Malloy to take a pay cut. He finds out that the Buffalo Bills will pay him just as much, if not more, if he hits a free market. You don't think that allows him to say, F you, I'm not taking a pay cut?
But I'm saying I think enough of that goes on the sneak that I don't think it's really much of a disadvantage.
A lot of murders
anymore.
Go on every day. We're just going to legalize, though? Why do we have anti-murder laws? Listen,
come on. Let's not compare the two.
Put the brakes on.
Really? Seriously.
Okay, before we rewrite the rule book on tampering, I can't hear you.
What happened?
Why don't you turn your mic on?
I didn't even know my mic was on.
One of your rolls just hit the button?
Oh.
Maybe. I do think it's a little different for free agents as opposed to the examples
sure.
that you used of Branch and
sure.
Malloy. But at the same time, I think it's much ado about nothing.
Pierre Woods reportedly is going to get the second round tender. What do you think about that?
Ooh.
Doesn't he kind of have to based on what he made last year?
I'm not sure I'd give him any tender.
Oh, you wouldn't even tender him
no.
at all? Huh.
Because okay. I think he does kind of have to, and I'm not looking to pay him. It's like 175 or 173.
Yeah, and he made like 1.5 or something
yeah.
last year.
His salary know? Keeps going up. I don't right. see his performance. I don't see the value.
Yeah,
he feels like the poster child of, let's have 53 players who make $2 million apiece. No, I'd rather have one player making the $8 million, and I'll fill in with, I just don't see his value.
Yeah, him being one of the, the minimum guys.
Right.
Like,
I kind of agree.
His salary can't go, if there was a mistake made, it was last year, because it can't go down.
But,
well,
last year
they thought he was going to be.
You hoped
that's what
he was going to be a guy at outside linebacker.
You
realize he's
point.
Not. So why would you tender him?
But
kick him to the curb.
Yeah, that's.
But you just don't want him on the team.
No, I would love to, but I'll allow him to go into unrestricted free agency.
And then when he doesn't find anything, you come back and sign
sure.
him for less money.
If he wants to crawl back, but
right.
last year I had hope that he might be a starting caliber outside linebacker.
I think we all did.
I no longer think there's any hope that he's an outside.
Just let him go.
A guy on roller skates.
Let him go, and if he has nothing,
I have
and he
no
comes
problem
back,
with that. I don't think much
for,
of Pierre Woods.
You
know that.
Yeah,
but
that's,
if you're
that
gonna
sounded kind of personal. I'm just basing it on his play. Paul's just saying.
No.
I don't
no.
think much of Pierre Woods. You
not,
know that.
Not personal. Not personal at all. The but just to let the fans know, and I don't know exactly what the percentage is, but I think he did make 1.5 something last year, and. His salary, you couldn't necessarily, you, for example, you couldn't tender him the lowest tender.
Right.
Because his salary can't go down.
I would tender him the lowest tender, zero.
So you're close enough that it ends up staying the same tender that he got last year, the second round tender. And
you know I like to butcher these. I believe that's called good money after bad or bad mm-hmm. money after good. Just because I made a mistake last year doesn't mean I have to make a mistake this year. I was just going to mock the Olympics because it said... men's skiing postponed.
Oh, I meant to put
but
the...
for heavy snowfall, so it's actually a good
oh,
reason
really?
That it's postponed.
Heavy snowfall.
They're actually getting snow.
Wow.
Okay, read the
what
emails,
the heck
Eric.
Is,
you
what
can't
the
watch,
heck is going
I can
on.
Watch TV. I'm not
oh,
hosting.
Oh, I know, but
read the emails.
ESPN is just ridiculous. All right, we're talking about
hooked on the Olympics.
Talking about tenders and tags.
Yeah,
Todd from Nova Scotia, speaking of Canada and the Olympics. Transition tag on Bodden. What do you guys think? I guess there's a he sends a link here to Pro
Are they
Football Talk.
But well, they negotiated.
I would
no
assume
franchise,
they're not allowed
but...
to. I mean, if they put in the franchise thing, I'm assuming that the transition thing is there too.
Right.
Clicking on this link here to see what the story is.
I'll talk amongst myself. Bar Raffaele hot.
Patriots have seven. No, there's nothing about that, but I guess Todd just brings that up on his own. Transition tag on Lee Bodden.
I don't know. Top 10 corners? What do they make?
I don't know if he's worth that.
Hey, what am I hearing?
I don't know, but I'm hearing it too. I think Doc's making mistakes again in the
I think that was
buttons he shouldn't have.
Portly Paul Perillo over here turning the audio on a TV. The top 10, where's the number? Where's the franchise numbers? I would pay the top 10 corners for Lee Bodden for a year. I have no problem with these one-year deals when I'm only on the hook for the year.
Yeah, the money of that would.
I thought he had a good season.
But he does. I mean, just he did have an agreement.
Right.
That precludes the team from using the franchise tag on him.
You assume that includes the transition as well.
Right. Otherwise, his agent should be fired immediately.
Yeah. Bad Kevin. We've heard from good Kevin quite a bit, but Bad Kevin writes in, "Hey, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag."
That's you.
Oh, I see what you did. And yeah. D-Bag. Right. Your mom likes my bag.
Guys, sorry. No filter whatsoever.
He started it.
You're going to get us in big trouble one of these
days. He started it.
Sorry
for
the
absence. I've been trying for 4 years. It ain't happening. We're never getting in trouble.
I saw on NFL Network that Peyton Manning is not in the same class as Bradshaw, Montana, and Brady. Does Troy Aikman, John Elway, and other two-time winning Super Bowl champions belong in this category? Do Dan Marino and Jim Kelly belong in this conversation? Of the best quarterbacks of all time, interested in your opinions.
Well, what's the category? Is it based solely on number of rings? Because then it's fact. You just go down the list and you have Bradshaw with 4 and Montana with 3 and whatever. Or are you basing it on rings?
I didn't see the NFL Network I was talking about.
I didn't either. I'm assuming it's just fact-based. It's right. Going by rings based on the...
Then I'm fine with it. It's a fact.
The division of groupings there, you know, Bradshaw, Montana, Brady.
Right.
And then it was Elway and Aikman and those guys. I mean,
yeah,
certainly. I mean,
facts
going by facts.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. So
right.
He's got to be up there.
I think so too.
Otherwise, the top 5 is Montana, Elway, Brady, Manning, and Unitas. That's what I've deemed Andy Hart's top 5 quarterbacks.
I always start with John Elway at number 1.
Elway is the best that I've ever seen. In my opinion, and that doesn't count. You know,
and the reasons why,
contrary to Andy's opinion, doesn't count guys like Unitas for me.
And it wasn't just the 2 rings that he got at the end of his career, because to me, he brought
his validation.
Right,
for him.
He brought horrible Bronco teams to the Super Bowl.
Very average, anyway. Yes,
right.
I totally agree.
Montana had talent all around him, and yes, Montana was a good clutch quarterback, but he had talent around him. Elway didn't, and Elway.
How much better did he make the talent around him?
It's a fair question.
I think that's a
now,
fair
Rice,
question.
I think, would have been great, but Taylor and Roger Craig and
it's a fair
Brent
question.
White tight end, yeah.
Well, he stunk.
But he made plays for him, and that's my question. Did Montana make those guys better?
Tom Rathman is the guy that...
I mean, McIntyre, Haley.
I think Roger Craig and John Taylor would have been great players, you know, pretty much anywhere, but
and
a guy like Rathman...
If he got into trouble, he could scramble better.
Fullback, always.
Elway could scramble better than and improvise better than Montana did.
Oh yeah, but
Montana was a good scrambler.
Different,
but
but scrambling in the back. I mean, like
Elway was a different kind of player. I thought Elway
was one of the greatest athletes that's ever walked the planet.
See, I think where Elway separated
not
himself
bow category, but a step below.
Where Elway separated himself from Montana, in my mind, is the arm more so than the legs.
Sure,
he was the best I ever saw at both. He could move. He could improvise.
The
he
crosses
could...
he would leave in people's chests.
Oh god.
Yeah. But, broken fingers.
But a lot of people don't put him up there because he threw interceptions and, you know, had some really bad performances in Super Bowls. I don't, you know, not to sound like Tom Jackson here, but, you know, it's one of the things I've always admired about him.
The ability. That's why you love Drew. Put a premium on picks.
So we go from greatest quarterbacks of all time to rookie quarterbacks.
Rookie
Sam Bradford.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah. Josh.
Best of all time.
Josh from doesn't say where.
He's the boat.
Subject line, McShay is a word we're not allowed to say on the air, but Fred sometimes whispers it. Last year, Todd McShay, the ESPN draft coattail rider, didn't think Stafford was worth the first overall pick because even though he had a strong arm, he made bad decisions in games. Right. This year, he thinks Clawson isn't worth the first overall pick because even though he was a good decision maker, he has an average arm. This guy will only like the QB that is the perfect prospect. Kuiper has them ranked 1 and 1A. McShay is just a word that we can only say.
Pussycat.
That is scared to rate QBs high in case they bust. By the way, the top 5 in the draft will go like this. Clawson.
One overall?
That's what he says.
No effing
way. Clawson, no effing way.
Sue, McCoy, Bradford, that four out of the top, three out of the top four quarterbacks. And Barry, Eric Barry.
Colt McCoy, Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're sure he's not saying Colt McCoy?
Then he's been.
Because he has Clawson as number one.
Then he's been drinking.
But that's different.
No one has Colt McCoy that high.
Bradford and Clawson are the two top quarterbacks. McCoy is a good step behind.
I would be stunned if first of all, I wouldn't take.
How many mocks have you seen with Jimmy Clawson as the one overall?
I haven't really no chance.
Not a lot. And there's no chance. I was just going to say, I would be stunned if he were taking one overall. But Colt McCoy is not a first rounder, even, I don't think.
No, but he's
especially
certainly
not with the shoulder.
Four.
Well, so you see, he's going to try to throw at the combine.
Yeah. Mm. I'm sure he'll pull it together after that nothing injury that he pussied out.
Wait. Wow. Yeah, you could add something in there.
Wow.
Footed.
Willow.
Pussy footed.
Willow.
Cat. Vagina.
Almighty.
You said add anything.
Ollie in London.
Now you got Doc.
Hello, Ollie.
Oh, is that O-L-E?
O-L-L-Y, he writes. Oliver.
Jolly old London.
Ollie. Jolly Ollie from London. Hey, guys, I don't know if you've been discussing draft prospects.
Got a little Andy Hart coming in the middle of your forehead, huh, two-gender?
Who are you talking to over there?
Dos-genderes. What do you call them, trace genders?
Three-gender.
Three-gender?
He's man, woman, and someone in between. I don't know
if you're an expert in that area.
So you're
I wouldn't normally go with it, two-gender, but when an expert witness describes you as something, I mean.
Was that the soundboard or was that the actual mic? I couldn't tell the difference.
That was sound.
Okay. Get back to Ollie.
All right, Ollie, Jolly Ollie in London. I don't know if I've only just logged on, but I don't think we take a pass rusher with our first round pick.
Why?
I want a surefire.
Because
he says, I want a surefire three-down playmaker in the. In the first this year,
well,
and I don't really care what position he is.
On either side of the ball?
I guess so, yeah. With that in mind, I really like Koa Misi and Jason Worrells as outside linebackers in the second round. What do you think of them? See if you can speak to them at the combine. We'll do
our
best.
We'll do, well, as always.
I'm also not a fan.
Kindle, if he hits, is going to be a three-down player.
I agree.
He's not a pass rush specialist. If anything, people think he's failed to live up to his pass rush capabilities. He is a athletic, big, fast, outside linebacker in a 3-4. I mean, he has
edge setter.
Theoretically everything you want. I don't know if he's going to be good. There's questions about not living up to talent and all that. But he's not going to be a specialist.
See, this is
if
where
he hits.
Ollie hasn't done his homework then, because he says
He
says I'm also not a fan of Kindle. He's merely an outside rusher.
Oh, I don't think
he
so.
He also looks much smaller than his reported 6'4" 260 frame.
Well, he may be.
Most of those guys are smaller than what they're listed at.
Which is, I'm going to put a list together for the blog when we have accurate combine measurements of the Bill Belichick 6'4" 4'6" club.
Legitimate 6'4".
Guys who are 6'4"
and
run
4'6".
And after I list two people, we'll know why he didn't take anybody, because there's not going to be a lot. You know, everybody's in love with Brandon Graham. He's 6'1",
maybe, which means he's
6'1",
5'11".
Right. All these guys that are listed at 6'4", will be 6'2", 6'3", and change. All these guys that have these theoretical 4'6", 40s, we'll see if they still have 4'6", 40s when they run at the combine.
Yep.
I think Kindle, if he hits, is going to be, I mean, the
upside
is a three-down player.
Him. NFL Draft Scout, according to Ollie, compares Kindle to Sean Crable. Suffice to say, that wasn't the endorsement I was looking for.
Yes.
Bill needs his linebackers to hold up against the run. Thanks, as always, Ollie from London.
I do think there's some similarities in stature between Kindle and Crable.
Yeah, no question. Better athlete, supposedly.
Much better athlete. But
Bill needs his outside linebackers to make it to the game field, which is something that Crable has been unable
to do. And it's funny you mentioned that, because we haven't seen him on the field, but Preston wrote back in and said that, one more thing, he saw Sean Crable this weekend.
At a strip club.
At a club in Providence. What's the deal with this guy? He hasn't played one snap, and he parades around in the club every weekend like
not
a
surprised.
Star. Is he even on the team
would
anymore?
Would it be okay if he was getting 10 sacks a year? He could be out in the offseason?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check, see when it was okay.
It was at least on the active roster. If he at least had legs that were bigger than Eric's wrists.
Seriously, guys. And Josh wrote back in.
By the way, those little comparisons are not really relevant.
The NFL draft scout comparisons?
Because, you know, somebody mentions Merriweather with Ed Reed. He's not going to be Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Good or bad, those are just like mental images, kind of build, style, blah, blah, blah. They don't really mean anything.
Right. Josh wrote in to clarify. He did mean Gerald McCoy in his list of the top five.
Thank you, Josh.
And no one thought Matt Ryan would go in the top five. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be the number one overall
pick.
Well,
his stock rose significantly.
Yeah.
But during his senior year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was. I agree with Eric. I think
Clawson's did, too. I mean, Clawson had a great year and his stock rose.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But to say that no one thought Matt Ryan was going in the top five is not really accurate.
Now, I'm swayed because I think Bradford is light years ahead of Clawson. But I wouldn't. I don't put it outside the realm of possibility.
You told us you thought he was going to be in Canton.
I did.
He's bound for Canton.
I did.
Oh, yeah. You've said that a long time ago.
He's a cerebral guy, so if he doesn't make it on his own, he might just go visit to learn his history.
The quarterback
rookies go there,
from that draft 2 years ago, the Ryan draft, it was Flacco was the one who, when the season ended, was not on anybody's radar. In the pre-draft process, he became a first-round pick.
Right.
That would be accurate to say no one had him going in the first round because no one did until he went to the combine and had his workouts and all that stuff.
But Clawson's a different beast because he's more like Kindle. He was, everybody knew him in high school. He was going to Notre Dame. He was this cocky, I think he played in that, I think he and McCoy played on opposite sides in
the high school
Army, Army-Navy high school game. I mean, he was a known commodity. I think disappointed early, then grew with Charlie Weiss, got better. Now some people think he's going to be great. Paul loves him.
I think he's good.
Wait a minute. Clawson, I think
you loved him.
But that's a little bit strong. I think that he had a great year last year.
On a team that wasn't really all that great.
No. And I think the only reason why they won any games was because
of him.
He willed them to win.
Right. And he played hurt.
I don't think he has a huge arm. I think the emailer that said that I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
He has, I think
good decision making.
I think he's a good player. I'm not sure that he's a great player. And I would not pick him with the first overall pick.
First round pick?
Not even close. Yeah.
Is he a
22?
He's a first round pick.
Is he 22? A developmental franchise quarterback?
But,
I mean, is he a...
I think he could be a good NFL quarterback, yeah. You don't?
I don't know. I don't feel strongly either way right now. I think he's in the conversation. I'd be scared to pick him high.
What does Bradford do?
Accuracy.
You don't think anybody else does.
And you don't think Clawson has the same?
I do not think Clawson is as accurate. No,
really?
I do not. I don't think Bradford has a great arm.
I don't think he's as accurate as Bradford either, but I think he's pretty good.
I just, and you're going to make fun of me because I think Bradford has it. I think he scans the field and he just does the right thing.
I think he's a good player. I don't think he's going to be a stiff or anything like that, but I don't look at him.
The heir apparent.
Well, I mean, I certainly didn't think Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco were going to do what they did as fast as they did either, so. I can't
really put myself out there on this Bradford thing, huh?
No, if he's not if he's not going to the Pro Bowl next year,
whoa, give him a couple years. I mean, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions.
I mean, you're as definitive with this as you were saying that
it's a different game now, Andy.
Saying that Darren McFadden was only going to rush for 3,210 yards.
Am
in
I
his
on
NFL
pace
career.
For that? He might be lucky to get.
He might
there.
Be. He might be.
He is going to be lucky to get there.
Yeah, 3,210.
And I believe I said Mendenhall would have a longer career. I'm flexing again.
Well. He's always flexing. That's how he walks
that's
around.
That's how he does. Watermelons under the arms, as Paul likes to say.
Mendenhall
your mom's
is ridiculous.
Under my arms.
Oh, boy. Adam.
Does your mom have watermelons?
Adam in Orlando. Quick question.
He just laughs it off. Don't go there.
Oh, don't go there.
Adam in Orlando sent from his iPhone. Quick question. I noticed you guys have mentioned that you review tape as part of the analysis you guys do for the draft. Where do you get it from?
Break it down.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Also, what other methods do you guys use when evaluating talent? Well, Andy and I go to the combine. I don't know really what Paul does to evaluate
talks
talent.
Out of his...
Paul reads what you guys write and regurgitates.
Bunghole.
First of all, that's a gross exaggeration that I read what they write.
I guess another case of titles don't matter, huh?
No, there's
no question.
We do.
We're opposite of the Patriots. He has the title and does nothing. They have all these guys that do everything but don't get the title.
Right. I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't find that funny.
Unbelievable.
TG and NJ. Enough with who's the best quarterback debate. It's ridiculous. The game has changed so much over the years. The comparisons are difficult to be made. My question is, which QBs have made more of an impact on the game overall? Which QBs have changed the game more? In today's Pass Happy League, has someone like Don Coryell had more of an impact on the evolution of the game than a Tom Brady? TG and NJ. P.S.
Andy's off the hook today, by the way. That comment about Paul's rolls turning off his mic had me laughing out loud at work.
That was a good one.
He's fat.
That was a good one.
Now we're putting
QBs
like
that have changed the game more, or coaches even.
Well, I think you got to go back to Paul Brown.
Well, Joe Namath is the guy there. I think Joe Namath did more to change the game in the way quarterbacks just threw it around.
Pantyhose.
I could care less about the team.
I couldn't care less about struggling. The team struggling.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Why do you say that, though?
What do you mean, why do I say that?
I mean, like,
why does he say, yeah?
No, why do you think?
Yeah!
Because he was the first guy, in my opinion, who had success throwing the ball somewhat recklessly, piling up yards, piling up interceptions, but had success. One more, you know, one game.
Proved you could get away with it?
Yeah, proved you could. If you made more plays than you... Then you gave away, then you could still win, and they ended up winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. You ever notice to get on Paul's list of favorites, you have to throw a lot of interceptions?
You have to be
Elway, Bledsoe, name it. Right.
You also have to wear number 12. That's pretty simple.
You don't really like Brady. You've been trying to run him out of town for the last 6 months.
That's where you're wrong.
No, you don't really love him. You liked 11 better than 12.
Hell no.
In the rare cases, yeah, but he wasn't a better
in the
player.
Rare cases. It's one case. I didn't bring up cases.
That's a rare case that the 11 was better than the 12, but not a better Hell player. No. I mean, Brady's light years better. Light years better. See, that's the difference between...
Light years.
In 10 years, no matter what Sam Bradford does, you'll still be saying Sam Bradford's better than anybody else.
No, I'll blame it on
that's
the shoulder.
That's the difference between me and you.
If he's great, I was
it.
Right. If he's
I
bad,
was wrong.
Shoulder
you will
injury.
Never admit it.
I admit every once in a while I'm wrong.
We'll see.
Tell me when I'm wrong.
Very rarely.
I'll admit it.
Exactly.
Oh boy.
That's my point.
We tell you you're wrong all the time. You never admit it.
You're never right.
Alex from the North Shore. Guys,
he always has a reason for him never having to admit
exactly.
he's wrong.
Guys, what positions do you think the Patriots will target with the first four draft picks?
Football.
Good, Paul. Wide receiver, running back, tight end, defensive end, outside linebacker, or cornerback? He gives us that to choose from. Would you be surprised if they took a safety QB or O-lineman?
No. Well, safety, I'd be most surprised of those three.
Unless it's like Eric Berry.
Well, I'd be stunned.
Or one of the,
good
Taylor
point,
Mays. Taylor Mays.
I'd be stunned if it was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Then safety, then offensive lineman. And those three that we didn't include,
yeah.
That would be my level of surprise would be highest, quarterback.
Quarterback.
Safety. Offensive lineman.
Could we be missing the boat kind of here on a defensive end? A true 3-4 defensive end? Depending on what they're going to do, but
oh, so not a pass,
not
rusher.
A pass rusher,
no, a Richard Seymour,
a Richard
because
Seymour.
You know Green is gone, Seymour is gone, Wright
is a
can or can't play at every down. I don't think Pryor is an every down 3-4 D end. That maybe they need to develop a guy there, especially if I say they lose Wilfork and all of a sudden your line is a hodgepodge of ill fitting pieces. Like a poor man's Sue. I don't even know who right now, like the second round 3-4 DN types are.
Yeah.
It's targeted early. Some on my big board, but I need to really break it down
big
before
board.
I can bring it out.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I think that I think it's got to be defense. I think it's got to be outside, you know, that D, like Andy said, the defensive end and the 3-4 or the outside linebacker.
That's your 22 pick.
Or a cornerback. I mean, to me, it's got to be a defensive player.
Well, the rusher is the guy. That is the most important.
That's my guy,
need, but
I don't know if they're going to have him available.
See, you know, the more.
There'll be somebody available, Paul.
But will it be good enough to pick it?
No, probably not.
The
not
more
for them,
we.
For them, probably for not. It's never good enough.
But for them or for anybody?
Well, it'll be good enough for somebody because you've got to have a 22nd pick.
The closer we get to this
stick
draft.
Stick with me on this one, okay? Try to pay attention. Will the pass rusher be worth taking at 22 for them
for
or
somebody,
for anybody
yes.
else?
Yes, for somebody, yes. Somebody will believe there's a pass rusher available who's worthy of the 22
like
pick.
I'm not looking at it in terms of.
Like Clay Matthews or like.
Exactly. I'm not looking at it in terms of Larry
pick.
English. San Diego obviously thought he was worth trading
right.
up for to take.
Right.
The Patriots maybe didn't because he wasn't in the 4-6-6-4 club.
Lamar Woodley goes in the second round. He was worthy of a first-round pick. He's a pro bowler. He's 2 years, I believe, double-digit sacks now.
But no one else thought he was worthy of the first-round pick either.
No, I know, but there's always somebody that is worthy.
No, we know there's going to be guys that are going to get taken later in the draft that are going to be pro bowlers, right?
Oh, yeah.
There always are. I'm saying my point being, do the Patriots pass up on a guy at 22
yes,
that's a pass
sure
rusher? Sergio Kindle, for example.
Do you think Bill would draft Brandon Graham?
And everybody
six
else.
Foot,
and everybody
and
else. Okay, Brandon Graham. Everybody else thinks he's a first-round pick.
Well, like last year with...
But the Patriots don't.
Everett Brown. Patriots had a chance and they passed up on him, correct?
Danny had two sacks and says he's got to get stronger.
No, but I'm saying, to Paul's point, there was a pick that everybody thought was the pick to make.
Is it going to be one of those, or is it going to be a Lamar Woodley, where no one else thought he was a first-round pick either?
Right.
He just turned out to prove everybody wrong.
Right.
There's a difference there.
Right.
Right.
Which leads that point in the show.
No Fred and we got there.
Alex from North Shore continues. Also, what are the chances the Patriots trade out of the first round? God, I hope not.
46%.
I've heard that
you got to put it around there.
I know. 50-50. I hope not, though. I've heard that the OLB crop is pretty deep this year. Would you be upset if the Patriots traded their first-round pick this year for a second-round pick this year and a second-round pick in next year's draft?
Yes.
So two second-rounders, one this year,
upset.
One next year?
I like first-round picks.
I do, too.
Doc, turn your mic on.
I like first-round picks.
Yes.
Do you go to the draft show? I mean, the draft, whatever it's called.
Party.
Yes.
How often do they boo?
Hardly ever.
I think this year, if they trade out of the first round, they would boo on a Thursday night at Gillette Stadium.
I would agree.
You will hear boos. Loud boos.
It's very demonstrative in that.
He's been on edge this whole show.
Yeah, I thought the food would calm him down, but it was
apparently
not.
I'm trying to bring my A game. I think you need to bring a little emotion to do good radio. Eric, you can try it sometime.
Okay, thanks for the advice.
He really should.
He should. Never has
I don't
any
have any
emotion.
Problem bringing emotion. Rationality sometimes, but yeah. Emotion.
You're an idiot over there.
You don't have any beliefs. You don't have any strong
opinions.
Come on,
be careful. He'll swear.
That's bull.
Oh. That's bull poop.
Right. Oh.
Body mess.
The closer we get to this draft, the more it's looking like the same needs they had in last year's draft.
It is.
The outside linebacker, the cornerback, wide receiver, running back depth, maybe another tight end.
But I think Andy makes a good point about the defensive line in general. Whether they're going to go 3-4 or 4-3, they may need just another big 300-pound guy to throw up front because they don't have a lot of them.
Especially if the one they drafted last year in the second round isn't good.
Right. Well, that's kind of where Mick from Ireland.
Hey, Mick.
Has a concern.
Drunk.
Since Andy is questioning the need for Vince, if we let him go, do we go to a four-man front?
I would.
And a smaller, quicker D tackles? Or do we just put another big guy at the nose? I like Vince, and I'd like to keep him, but we have to do what's best for the team. And if you run out of things to say, get Eric to tell more stories from his childhood. Keep up the good work.
Eric is not really all that forthcoming with stories of his childhood. It was a tough time. Didn't get Christmas presents, you know.
I'm not.
No, that's now.
I'm not doing it with you. No.
Didn't ask.
I don't. Sorry.
What do you think of the idea of you losing quality defensive linemen, i.e. Seymour, possibly Will Fork, mm-hmm. and you counteract that problem by going 4-3?
It's so ridiculous.
So add more.
I didn't necessarily mean that as being ridiculous.
Add more average players.
Four average players are better than
three great players.
But that seems
that doesn't sound like good logic.
No, but it seems to be the idea that a lot of people have. If we lose Will Fork, maybe it's the time to go 4-3 and put smaller. As that email said,
but I don't think it's
smaller
just about
defensive
size
tackles. I think this is but that's a different argument. The whole system
it's about
change.
Talent. What's available from the college level?
That's
and,
my point.
And do you have the talent?
If you don't have
the
talent,
three linebacker
to put four
spots.
Men on the field. Are we going to do it?
No, but could you draft two guys in you have four in the first 53? You draft two guys that might be more NFL ready to play in a four man front, speed based, closer to what they did in college, rather than taking some Ron Brace who's big, but you try to fit him into your 2-gap 3-4 and realize he's never done this. It's going to take a year and a half. Maybe there's a quicker transition there, right?
But you're talking about adding more players. I'm talking about what we have right now. You're saying you're going to add some talents, and in which case I would say, hey, I'm all for
and
it.
And it's easier to add talent
to one than the other. I'm all for that.
So you're just saying
we're losing Will Fork, and our solution is let's just go 4-3.
Well, I do think
if you have
now,
the talent.
I understand your argument. It's easier to get guys to play tackle in a 4-3 than end in a 3-4.
Pryor, Warren, Wright, Burgess. With Banta, Kane, Guyton, and
Burgess.
Well, yeah, that's
Mayo.
What I was going to say.
And if they re-sign him.
If you have the talent at
the
linebacker spot,
the position, I think they would
maybe you get away with it. You know, if you have the two outside guys that are legit playmakers.
Well, I can go get Dansby, too. If I'm going to do this, I might as well just go get Dansby. And Peppers.
Okay.
Well, huh.
Linebackers.
But I'm saying,
know.
I think
it just seems kind of funny logic.
It seems,
It seems counterintuitive, but I think there's a case that can be made for it.
Now, I would like to see sort of a change in scheme. I mean, principles, general principles, but I don't think we're going to see that.
I don't think you will either.
One gap.
I would rather see a more
attacking
quarterback.
Like to see one gap.
More of an attacking
just
style.
Just once in his life. One.
You
gap.
Know the whole thing about the whole. You know, we talk a lot about the league is it's a passing league now. And Andy, I think early in the show you said
something smart
for on
no.
teams are in that mindset on first down.
Yes,
it's not. You
I
don't
did.
Need that nose
it's
tackle.
Kind of like the star position is now a starting job in the NFL. That
right.
nickel corner.
You don't need a guy to go out there and stop the run on first down. You know, because teams.
Make themselves one-dimensional from the first snap.
Right. So with that in mind, I think that the way to counteract that with the extra defensive backs that a lot of teams do now is part of their base defense, as you just said, the star position is now a starter. Why not get more aggressive in your approach and say, I have to get at or around the quarterback as much as possible. I'm going to give up plays, but maybe I'm going to make some. And if I can make more than they make, I can –
So now you're Greg Williams.
Well, for lack of a better way to do
not
it.
For sure you're going to say Greg Williams in the Super Bowl. I don't want you to tell me Greg Williams.
Well, you could make an argument for that. You know, without him, they couldn't stop anybody. With him, they at least forced turnovers.
Couldn't stop anybody and outscored him.
but they forced turnovers.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
And that's what I'm saying. If you can get a couple of those, maybe you can survive defensively. Otherwise, I just don't think you can sit back, play this read and react, bend but don't break, and succeed in today's NFL. Against good offenses.
I think you can if you play it well. I think we're going to get back to our old thing, 4-3, 3-4, one gap, two gap.
Oh, I don't care about
you need
four,
good
three,
football
three,
players. And I don't think they have enough high-quality, starting-caliber, playmaking, defensive football players.
So why not get more aggressive and see if you can bother them?
Because I think you'd get blown out.
Okay.
I think you're like right now using the logic.
So you go 10-6.
I think you're using the logic that they have a better chance of screwing up if they have to drive the length of the field on 10 plays. Then, if
well,
we
that's
just
definitely
have a big place.
That's definitely the logic they use. And by the way, what I'm saying about getting more aggressive isn't necessarily meaning expose yourself to more blitzes. I'm saying,
no, I know, but
attack.
Yes, get more of an attack mindset and stop worrying about holding the point of attack.
But
and,
when you
and
attack,
read
and react,
blockers.
You can get attacked.
Right.
It's easy for a guy to run right by you.
Of course you can.
I'm not just talking about blitz. I'm talking about you're slanting right and boom, backside
gone. Cuts the other way. Well,
it's over.
Maybe.
I didn't say it wouldn't happen in whatever they were doing now with Ray Rice, Paul,
Ray
in the first
Rice.
Play of a playoff game, but I just, this is a good point in the show, right before the end, to
yes.
urge people to go on pages.com and check out the latest From the Heart blog entry.
Oh my gosh.
Where I said, better from within, and we're looking at players and people that are involved with the team now, and could they get better next year to help improve the team, not necessarily just go, let's get better through the draft and free agency. And one of the people I put there, Paul, was defensive coordinator. Didn't know who it was, so I couldn't actually put a name. But, and I said, Dean Pease was as likable as they come. But the defense underachieved for a while now. And at some points, you definitely said they didn't have enough talent. But at other points, their schemes didn't seem great either. Didn't seem like they were overly aggressive. Didn't seem like they maximized strengths and covered up weaknesses well enough. Maybe that's an area where with Bill Belichick and Corwin Brown and Matt Patricia and Pepper Johnson being more vocal, maybe the scheme will be a little bit different, a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more. Right?
You just ripped me by saying they didn't have NFL players no matter what system they used.
What? I'm talking about
just
incremental.
Randomly throwing
the
that
bottom line
in?
Is their players aren't good enough.
Right. Now you blame it on
their
teams.
So-called Pro Bowlers aren't Pro Bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
And guys who should be backups and sub-players, like Gary Guyton and Tully Bantakane, are starters. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the root of the issue. But that's,
the talent has waned.
It'd be totally dismissing coaching to say they can't maximize whatever talent they have. And I'm not sure they maximized it in recent years by benching James Sanders.
It always comes back to that.
I
or
think
Bo
that
Jackson.
Was a tremendous show for Andy. I'm out.
Boy, the today's Andy Hart Self-Aggrandizement brought to you by...
Leaping Lenny Puffo.
Strippers.
VIP strippers.
Strippers.
Lunch on Thursday, strippers.
Well, we read a lot of emails today.
Which is a rarity for this show.
And we have still a lot more that need to be
I wish
read.
We could do a couple more hours.
But that's why we have Thursday's show. So,
why read today what you can put off until
yeah,
Thursday?
Yeah, we got quite a bit done today, but join us again on Thursday. Maybe Fred will be here. Maybe he won't. Who the hell knows?
Thank
it's
you.
The offseason. He's busier in the offseason, he tells us,
maybe
than he is during
the season.
We can
have John Rook come in and step inside the playbook.
Step inside the playbook.
I like that. Welcome inside the playbook.
Rajiv, lunch.
Thanks.
Yeah, we need some. Do we have any lunch set up for Thursday, Doc?
No, sure. I believe
we do.
Rajiv.
We do. Okay,
but,
good.
But let's look ahead. Yeah, let's look ahead to Rajiv, and say thank you.
Right.
To Rajiv.
You did a great job. You had a great email.
Looking forward to finding out about that trip.
Yes, we need another email from you. We guarantee to read it, even if you don't buy lunch Thursday. We'll read about your trip. And Drunk Peter in Ireland, you had a decent email for a Drunk Peter.
You did. It was the best email of the show.
Jason and Chiba.
Good to have you back.
Welcome back, my friend.
And Lucky, where the hell are you?
We'll see you noon Thursday.